Hello, ladies. Look at your man. Now back to me. Now back at your man. Now back to me. Sadly, he isn't me.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
J-A-M-B-A. B-A. Juice. Juice as in J, like J as in shoot. Oh my gosh, you make me so nervous, Ryan. J as in juice. U as in Eunice. Like the name. Oh, I love that name. I as in I. D as in cat. Cat. D as in E. Okay? So I'll be a Jamba Juice.
And now,
if you won't listen to my words, then listen to my dancing feet.
Our feature presentation.
Who is the Jamba Juice person?
I don't know.
It sounds like Paula Abdul, but
it's been a while since we played it. It was from a story that we did that a couple of years ago about a girl leaving a voicemail. She met a guy or something and called him back. He asked her out for a date or something. She called, left that message, and I don't know. She was just
that's
a little
deal
too excited.
Breaker, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And by the way, Eunice doesn't start with a U on top of all the other problems with her message. But
Jay is the juice.
Juice. And I remember us talking about it at the time going, Jamba Juice isn't the type of thing that you need to spell.
Right.
Everybody kind of knows what Jamba Juice is and what it is you're saying. It doesn't sound like something else. It's not confusing. So I don't know. There was all kinds of wrong with that lady. But anyway, I don't know how I came across that yesterday, but it was good to hear again. I enjoyed her very much.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin Abeen Show. It is Wednesday, and it's the 1st of May.
What's up with that?
What's up with that?
What is up with that? Yeah, this year is flying on by, but not for Henry Gribbum, who was all over the news yesterday, a man who lives in New Hampshire, who was there was a carnival in town, Kevin. You ever go to carnivals?
Yeah, sometimes.
Take the kids?
Sometimes, yeah.
Ever play any of the carnival games? You have any of those games that you like?
No. No, they're all pretty much sets so that you can't win. You can, but it takes, $400 to get a $20 stuffed animal.
Or does it take $2,600 to get nothing, as in the case of Mr. Gribbum?
Wow, what a sucker.
$2,600. He was playing a game called Tubs of Fun.
Is that where you have to throw the softball and it stays in the tub?
Yep. That's the one. Tubs of Fun. You know the game.
Oh, sure.
So he was playing that game, and he was trying to win. Of course, they always have all these prizes up there that you can win. And he was trying to win an Xbox Kinect for his kids. That was one of the prizes that was offered that you could win, right?
You could buy that for, what, $299?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So he spent he apparently had $300 on him and spent it all. Blew $300 in Tubs of Fun trying to win this prize. And Kevin's right. It's the game where you throw a ball into a bucket. And apparently there is a book called Carnival Fraud Investigations 101 that talks about how all the carnival games work and why they're stacked against you, why they're so impossible to win. And apparently this one is when there's a test ball, a sample ball in the bucket for whatever reason, you can throw another ball in and it'll stay in there. And that's how they demonstrate it to you. Then they take that sample ball out and all of a sudden now everything just bounces out. It doesn't have that other ball to weigh it down or whatever, however it works. So I can't really visualize it, but apparently that's the secret, is they do it once and show you how easy it is, then they take the ball out, and now you can't do it. So $300, that's gone. So he went home, got his life savings of $2,300, and came
kidding?
Back.
What an idiot.
Well, he really
he deserved.
He wanted that Xbox Kinect, he said. He said, they explained to me that I was going to get all my money back when I won it. They lied to me. It's $5 for two balls, by the way. He went back the next day after he lost the $2,600 and complained. And the carnival, and I think this was very cool because the man is a dumbass, they gave him $600 back and a large stuffed banana with a hat and dreadlocks.
That's worth it. That's a good trade-off.
And they said, look, that's all I could do for you. So he has contacted the Manchester, New Hampshire police, and the department is now investigating to see if any fraud occurred.
Oh, I hope the police just say, you're a dumbass. Go home.
$2,600. I mean, look, there are lots of stories about people who feel like they're one hand away from winning their money back in Las Vegas, one pull of the slot machine or whatever, and they just keep throwing good money after bad.
Right, but if this guy eventually wins, he gets the Xbox 360. Mm-hmm. And that's a finite value that you don't get.
Yes.
You're not gambling
to get
your money back.
$18 million, right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. He could have used a fraction of that money and bought his own.
Unbelievable. What a moron.
Henry Gribbum, dumbass of the day. Well done, sir.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
But, yeah, no. Yes.
Why?
You have to ask the guy who said it, man.
The guy who said it's an idiot. All right, brand new internet roundup today.
It's a good one.
Can a penis be too big? Question I've asked all my life. Simon Amstel, comedian, will be in the studio.
He's funny. He's my new soulmate.
He's your new soulmate?
He is.
Why is that?
He is a complete and total recluse.
Yeah.
And I love him. So he and I are going to be friends and never hang out.
Wow, that sounds fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
We're a little bit Animal Voices on today's show.
Great.
We also have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
So that's coming up as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
So today's Wednesday. That means we're only a couple days away from the on sale at noon Friday for the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2013. Make sure you are a Street Team member so you can buy those tickets when they go on sale. The show is 2 weeks from Saturday, May 18th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. All the details at krock.com. Good morning, Ralph Garman.
You need a drink or something?
Why?
What do you mean? I know your voice sounds all... What's going on there? You all right? Everything okay?
Fine that I know of. Yeah.
Get some sort of inhaler or something. I don't know what you need, but something's going on there. That's all I'm saying. Last night, I saw Iron Man 3.
Oh, please tell me that was good.
How do you like me now?
You had a way better night than I did.
Whew. Boy, is that a fun movie. What a awesome. Good time.
Good.
Really, I loved it. It was great. A considerable amount of grumbling from the fanboys on the way out, however.
Right. You know. Who cares?
Just telling you, there's going to be some backlash. There's going to be some hell to pay.
Did they take some liberties with
there's
the
going to be
comic?
Some fanboy hell to pay. So just get ready for it. If you go to see it this weekend, on your way out, you're going to hear a lot of Rollins bitching and
will
moaning.
Will it give anything away for you to say why?
Yes.
Okay.
Sadly, I guess, for the sake of spoilers, I can't say. But like most comic book movies, they take some liberties with the comic book lore here and there.
Sure. You know? But then you go, they're fanboys. Who cares?
Well, I mean, I never begrudge the fanboys their right to complain because these are people who are passionate about the source material and have supported and cared for and loved these characters for a long time before anybody else knew who even the hell they were. You know,
right.
Before the first Iron Man movie 9 years ago, no one even knew who Iron Man was or cared. And there's some hardcore Iron Man fans who's you know, fostered a long-running relationship with this character, so they feel things deeply. All that being said, it's a great movie, and you should be able to go and enjoy it for the sake of the fun summer blockbuster thrill ride it is. It's like a James Bond movie.
Fantastic.
It's got that kind of vibe to it. And Robert Downey Jr., just charming as hell. And I'll tell you something. I don't know how they do it. I don't know what kind of CGI magic they work. But Gwyneth Paltrow, very attractive and likable in this film.
In all three of these, she's been really great.
So we'll talk more about it this weekend, Friday, as we get to the movie beat. But I just want to
she is the most beautiful
tease.
Woman in the world, Ralph. You can't be surprised.
That's what People Magazine says.
Yeah.
Right. That's what Effed in the Head People Magazine said. They changed the name of the magazine.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's called Effed in the Head.
I didn't realize that.
While we're talking about movies, Netflix has bad news for some of you.
What?
You may be going to see one of your favorite films. You want to stream it on Netflix. You want to check it out and get the DVD. You might be disappointed, as almost 2,000 titles will no longer be offered by Netflix. They've lost the streaming rights to films from Warner Brothers, MGM, Universal, and Viacom.
Wow. Why? What happened?
Expiring deals. They did not renew the deals with those companies for those films. Now, 2,000 isn't much compared to the 60,000 titles Netflix now has in its streaming library. But
are they good ones?
Considering people often complain about the lack of interesting choices on Netflix in the first place, this won't help the situation.
Well, Netflix has kind of become the victim of its own success, I think, because they've been so successful and have shown the business model can work, so now all these other companies are going, hey, why don't we have our own streaming library? And that's, I think, what's happening with Warner's, right, is they're going to start their own service.
Yeah, you're right. For example, you want to see Dr. No, the very first James Bond movie? No. Can't see that name.
Dr. No for real.
See?
Mm-hmm.
Dr. They- no! Right. No! No! You're not done professionally! No! No! So, it's bad news for some movie fans. But most of the big, you know, current stuff and that kind of thing you'll still be able to find. Congratulations to Andy Dick. He's got a new girlfriend.
What?
Wait till you hear who it is. Wait till you hear who his girlfriend is.
I'm afraid.
Don't be afraid. Don't fear the Reaper. Andy Dick's new girlfriend is Jennifer Jimenez. Does that name sound familiar?
Yes, why?
Dr. Drew's companion helper there at the rehab?
Oh, right.
The lovely Hispanic former model and actress who works as the rehab technician there. And she was also the manager of the Sober House on VH1.
Right.
That's Andy Dick's new girlfriend. Well, if anyone can help keep him straight, it's her, right? That's what she does.
Right. What a weird mix that is.
She tells Radar Online that they've loved each other on a best friend level for years, and that has escalated to romance, and all their friends say that they're a perfect match.
Hmm.
So Jennifer and Andy. And since we're talking about rehabilitation, we'll check into rehab in New York tomorrow morning. And, yes, lucky us, we're going to get to hear all about it. Because she apparently is in talks with Celeb Buzz. Are you familiar with Celeb Buzz, the website?
Heard of it, yeah.
They host the Kardashian Sisters blog and other blogs. She's going to start blogging in August after she leaves treatment to give us every detail about her rehab treatment. Day one, she didn't drink anything.
Paid?
Day two, wish I had a drink. Day three, who do you have to blow to get some blow around here?
Day four, found out.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, she will get reimbursed for this, Bean. That's the reason she's working the deal, is not just to share her innermost feelings, but to cash a check. So, no word on how much they're talking about, but she's still in negotiations. The website says she'll be detailing her deepest thoughts and could eventually have her own website, which include her musing on arts, fashion, music, and movies.
Oh, my God.
Well, I can't wait to hear what she has to say about all those things. Because when I think art and culture and fashion and movies and music,
Lindsay loves
it. I say, what does Lindsay think? Yeah. That's how I feel. As I was watching Iron Man 3 last night, I said, I wonder what Lindsay thinks of this film. And I wonder if she brought a sick bag. And this is my kind of guy. This is a man who understands what it's like when you've perhaps had one too many. Restaurant, all right? Picture this. Travel with me, won't you, fellas?
Okay.
Picture this. You're at a restaurant. You are knocking them back, as Kevin is wont to do, and you're maybe overserved, as Kevin is wont to get, and you're just drinking and drinking and drinking, and the next thing you know, you're on the floor.
Okay.
You're on the floor, Kevin. That's where you are.
I can picture that.
And you look up. Who do you see looming over you, asking you if you're okay? Do you see Al Pacino?
Not normally, no.
Yes.
Depends how much you've been drinking.
That's never happened to me.
Patrons were shocked at the swanky restaurant when Al Pacino ran over to see if the guy who was sitting at the bar who fell off his stool was okay.
Wow.
Al immediately helped the poor guy up, made sure he wasn't driving. Unfortunately, his female companion, his date, she was driving, and she was just as loaded as the guy was.
Oh, no.
So Al refuses to let either of them leave, takes the keys, and insists they ride home in his limo.
What?
Wow. Gives him a ride home.
Wow.
Oh. I'll tell you. I like to help the drunks. Wow. Because I've been...
give me your keys.
Oh, no, I'm fine.
Yeah, no, give me your keys.
I'm driving.
Give me your keys. You're too drunk.
I'm okay.
I know what it's like to work with a drunk. I did two for the money with Ralph Garman. Wow.
Today's celebrity birthday is Tim McGraw, country singer, 46 years old today.
And a pretty good actor, too, right, Ralph?
Yeah, he does all right for himself. He was in that Blind Side, remember?
Mm-hmm. All right.
With America's Sweetheart.
I first saw him in the
Sandra Bullock
Friday Night Lights movie, and that's where I was impressed by him so much.
Julie Benz, our pal from Dexter, and now Defiance, right, over there on Sci-Fi. She's 41 years old today. Darcy Retzke of Smashing Pumpkins. Of course, she was a great hockey player, too. The great Retzky.
Nope.
She's
her daughter, something else.
45 years old today. Different person. Amelia Clark from Game of Thrones is 26.
Singer-songwriter Ray Parker Jr. is 59.
Yeah.
I can't think about Ray and think about Bean's wife. We'll tell that story later. And my daughter from Red State, the lovely and talented actress Carrie Bechet, if you saw Red State or Argo, she was also the beautiful girl in Argo as well, 29 years old today. My daughter. She was my daughter.
Yeah.
29 years old today. She's my daughter. I got to talk to my agent. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
And now.
It's over now.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes after 6.
Frequent Kevin and Bean emailer Jenna writes in to notice that Lisa May is out and asks, can it possibly be Butthole Week already? Isn't it amazing how fast Butthole Week comes up? Just surprises us every year.
That's true.
Yeah, Lisa is out. She will be back next Monday. We got a hell of a Kevin and Bean show for you today, including comedian Simon Amstel over from Britain doing some shows coming up at the Largo. Also, Adam Carolla will be on the program today and a brand new internet roundup. It's all on the way on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
First, it's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. We have so many different animal stories that we have to put on a wheel. We can't do them all at once. We have the giant Iranian rats. Mm-hmm. We have the man-faced let me read this again. Man-faced, the feral cat mistaken for a mountain lion.
Okay.
Killer Asian tiger mosquitoes.
Wait, how come if he has a man face, he's mistaken for a lion. Mountain lion?
I don't know.
Not a man.
I don't write these.
Well, if it lands on that, we'll ask him, I guess.
Brazilian wandering spider.
All right.
I don't know how interesting that'll be. Yep, I'm lost. Holly, the cat who walked 200 miles to get home. Willie, okay. The foul-mouthed cockatoo.
Oh, I hope it lands on Willie.
The vicious British underground mice. Purston Howell III from the rich cats of Instagram. And that's it.
All right. Those are our choices.
Let's get to it, shall we?
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
All right. The feral cat has a man face.
Right.
And yet they mistake it for a mountain lion.
Yeah, that's kind of weird,
that's
isn't it?
That's a weird thing.
All right, reach on up and spin that thing and let's see where it lands. Oh, nice. Come action. On. Well done.
Maybe best ever. Very possible. Oh, Purston Howell III from the Rich Cats of Instagram. This has been on the wheel for 17 years.
Finally, it landed on this one. Apparently, everybody has an Instagram account where they like to, you know, mostly just put up pictures of their food. But some people like to display their extravagant lifestyle. Pictures of them on boats or with champagne or with money or with guns or with models. Well, believe it or not, there's something called the Rich Cats of Instagram where they do those same sorts of photos with their cats. So you'll see pictures of cats that are just lounging on a bed with, I don't know, $10,000 in cash.
Or a necklace that looks like it's worth $20,000.
Yeah, diamond necklaces or bow ties or tuxedos or yachts or giant, champagne bottles. I mean, these cats are living it up. These cats are living better than most citizens. And apparently, Purston Howell III from the Rich Cats of Instagram joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Mr. Howell.
Meow.
Well, meow to you as well, my friend. How are you?
I'm well. How are you two?
Well, we're very good. Thank you.
I'm glad to hear it. Can I hear Kevin read those lists of animals again?
I don't think so.
That was very entertaining.
Sure was. So, Purston,
yes.
You are a rich cat of Instagram. You
I
have
am.
A lot
yes.
of money. How do you spend your time?
Well, I lick myself enormously.
Right. Understood.
A tremendous amount of time is spent licking.
Right. Sure. Why wouldn't we all?
There's, of course, eating.
Yes.
I love to eat.
Uh-huh. Right.
What kind of stuff do you eat?
Mostly fancy feast.
I see. Okay.
An occasional bird.
All right.
Or a cat.
Or a cat.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
You're a cannibal?
No, I just really like my girlfriend.
I see. All right. I'm surprised you even settle for cat food. I figured you'd be eating, you know, filet mignon or something even ritzier.
I can't get enough of the fancy feast.
Look at
the name. It's so fancy.
Right. It is fancy. That's true. Yeah.
I love a good bird or a mouse.
Right.
Of course, I don't catch them myself.
Who catches people for that?
I hire a poorer cat for that.
Right. And do you sleep on a bed of $100 bills?
I usually sleep on a human.
On a human?
Yes.
I see.
Just any human will do.
And they don't mind?
Well, I pay them, so they really can't complain.
Oh, you pay them. I see, yeah.
I pay them to lie there nude while I sleep on them.
Ugh. Now, are you and the other rich cats of Instagram, would you consider that you are spoiled?
Not at all. I think I deserve it. After all, I've earned all this crazy money.
How have you earned it?
I'm an inventor.
You are? What have you invented?
The CAT scan. That was mine.
Really?
Yes. I discovered musicians.
You
Cat,
did?
Like Cat Stevens. He was mine.
I see.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You've been busy.
The Pussycat Dolls.
Right.
Mine.
Yours. Wow.
Really? Wow. You did deserve it.
I did. I'm a very smart, clever cat.
Sounds like it.
Yes.
Now, you're not one of these that's laying on the pistol with the bullets and the money. You're not a gangsta cat, right?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
There's a black cat lives down the street, though, that I keep my eye on. However, I come from old money.
Old money.
The All right. Howells have had money for many years.
Oh, really?
Yes, the majority of it was left to us when one of the Howells took a 3-hour tour and never returned.
So that's not just a coincidence that you're Perston Howell III. You're related.
Of course, yeah.
I see. And jewelry? You wear jewelry or furs or anything fancy?
Of course I like a little bling now and then.
Sure.
All right.
I have a solid gold collar.
Wow.
Which I don't wear only on special occasions. Because it does tend to crush my windpipe.
It does seem a little uncomfortable.
Very
maybe.
Heavy for a cat. Kind of heavy. Very solid gold.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, Perston, it sounds like...
Whoop.
Are you okay? A hairball or what? Perston?
Perston, you all right?
Yeah, just a little hairball.
Okay. Well, that's going to happen no matter how rich you are if you're a cat, I guess. All that licking.
Oh, no.
Perston, what?
Come on.
You're doing fine. Oh, that's not. Oh, what happened?
I shouldn't have eaten all those diamonds.
Friday morning, actually Friday at noon, so just after the morning, you can buy your tickets if you're a K-Rock Street Team member for this year's Weenie Roast. The K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013 is happening on Saturday, May the 18th. I can't get over what a great lineup it is and how much music you get for your money, by the way. Prices are the same as last year. And I think there's 15 bands on the bill this year.
Yes, too many.
It's kind of insane. I mean, you would just go see Black Keys. They would be fine to sell out the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. If it was only the Black Keys, you'd be happy. But you throw in your 30 Seconds to Mars and your Vampire Weekend of Monsters and Men, Silver Sun Pickups, Jimmy, World Imagine Dragons, Haywall Nation, Atlas Genius. That's your main stage. You've got Fits and the Tantrums, The Neighborhood, Capital Cities, New Politics, and 21 Pilots all playing on the side stage. And then great music from C2C. They're going to be the DJs of the night, too. So it's just a phenomenal, phenomenal lineup. And all your proceeds will go to benefit some great local charities. Surfrider and Heal the Bay. Get the details. Make sure you're signed up to be a Street Team member at krock.com.
You have to be a Street Team member because they will ask for a password, and you need that password to buy the tickets. So make sure you do that. Let's go to the Afro line. 323-520-AFRO is the phone number. We have a answering machine 24 hours a day if you'd like to leave a message, including rubbing in, you know, for perhaps a sports team that has had its share and has had a lot of haters through the years.
Hey, Kevin.
Yes.
Are you watching the Lakers game? Hey, Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Uh-huh.
Your team is getting butt.
Yeah.
Hey, Kevin.
Right.
Why are they doing so bad? Hey, Kevin.
Yep.
Kevin.
All right.
You like watching your team lose?
Don't you wish that guy had been sitting next to you during all the games? You're sad about the Lakers, Kevin, but at least the Kings are barreling through the playoffs.
Ow.
So at least you've got something great to look forward
Dare
to.
Dare you?
I'm just saying.
Game goes into overtime, and Jonathan Quick gives them a goal. Gifts it to them. This will not stand. Laker hate is not over.
Goodbye, Lakers. Goodbye, Lakers. Goodbye, Lakers. We hate to see you go. Lakers!
Somebody should start preparing the Clippers afro
yes,
calls, too,
should.
By the way.
The Clippers, what a bummer. Blake Griffin with an ankle sprain. Yeah. That is not what you want. Somebody making fun of the way I talk?
Sarah Abramson, they're pretty tough. They turn up Abramson
faster. I don't always say things correctly. Sarah Abramson?
Yeah.
It's not a name at all.
I finally figured it out. Everyone, I know why there's so much vomiting on Kevin and Bean.
His name is Ralph.
And he loves that comedy.
He sure does.
I'll tell you that. I'm not exactly sure how this happened, but I've spent about 5 minutes trying to figure it out. And I'm not sure how you could possibly do this, even if you wanted to.
Hey, guys. I smashed one of my balls in the refrigerator door.
Because even if you're standing too close to the fridge, it seems like your legs or something would stop the door from closing on it, right?
I'm not exactly sure.
Like, how would you get in that position?
Maybe that's the guy with the 175-pound testicles.
Could be.
Maybe that was that guy. Here's a great song.
Fire beer mug, fire him, fire him, fire him. That's how you get it done. Learn, beer mug.
Well done. Nicely done, sir.
And here's a joke. It's all about the delivery.
Hey, guys. I'm really concerned about Justin Bieber. Every time you guys talk to him, it's like he throws up. But are you sure he doesn't have, like, an eating disorder? Maybe he's bulimic. Huh? Bulimic. Anybody? Bulimic.
It helps if you say the punchline three times.
Right, exactly.
Our audience loves every song we play.
When you're lost and alone and thinking like a stone, shut the f*** up. Let the past be the sound of the feet upon the ground. And shut up and stop playing the song.
Coming right up.
Our listeners are quite the entertainers, aren't they?
How about the national anthem?
I like heaven and any song made to, but I really hate bean and beer mug's stupid laugh. There will only be one man who laughs in the background. He goes by Mikey, and I think he might be gay.
Beautiful.
That's very touching. Beautiful. Very touching.
Very touching. 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. Is that how he sounds?
Yes. You need to get up on stage with the Silver Sun Pickups at the Weenie Roast and maybe perform that song with him because you like it so much.
Hey, how you guys doing? It's great to be here today.
Easy with the put-on singing voice, will you? Easy.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. It is Wednesday.
Sure,
I want to say
sure.
It's Wednesday.
Wednesday, sure. Why not? That's correct.
30 Seconds to Mars on the way. Also, Muse and Because You Insisted, Blind Melon coming up. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's happening?
Lots of things are happening. First of all, Saturday night, Kevin Smith and I return with another edition of Hollywood Babylon, where an extraordinarily stoned guy and an inexplicably drunk person make fun of people in show business, and we have a good time. We're doing it down at the beach. We're babbling at the beach again, Long Beach Laugh Factory. You can go to laughfactory.com, their website, to get tickets for the show, 10 p.m. on Saturday night. Kevin Smith and I returning to Babylon.
Yes.
Okay, good. Kevin will be there, I guess. Also, speaking of tickets, this is a very cool event. Entertainment Weekly is doing their first Cape Town Film Festival. Cape Town, a bit of a pun there, because it's mostly superheroes and science fiction and fantasy. A great lineup happening at the Egyptian Theater in Hollywood. Now all the way through May the 6th, tickets are available at Fandango.com, but I've got tickets to give to a very cool event. It is Escape from New York.
Yay!
One of my favorite films.
When did that come out?
Mid-80s, I guess. All I remember is it all takes place, you know, it's a post-apocalyptic sort of thriller where the city of New York has become so unlivable that they've just walled it. They've just put a wall around Manhattan, and it's just become a giant prison for the scum of the earth just live in Manhattan, and no one else is allowed in or out.
I like the idea of let's just wall it in.
1997 is the year that all happens. I remember that in the film.
Wow, in the future.
And then the president, his Air Force One goes down, and he gets trapped behind the walls there.
Oh, no, what are the chances?
So what are we going to do? We got to send in Snake Plissken.
That's right, Snake Plissken.
He goes in to rescue the president, played by Kurt Russell. Brilliant performance by Kurt. He will be also the special guest for the Q&A panel after Escape from New York.
Nice.
Kurt Russell, one of my favorite actors. One of my favorite films, as I mentioned. So a little trivia. If you'd like to go see Escape from New York on May the 3rd and the Q&A with Kurt Russell, I've got two pairs of tickets to give to the first two people who can answer my trivia question. As I mentioned, the president goes down behind the walls of the prison that is now New York City. He is captured by the most vicious street gang behind those walls, the Gypsies. The Gypsies have the president, and Snake Plissken's got to get him back. Just tell me the name of the leader of the Gypsies. The name of the leader of the gang that has the president held captive there in New York
City.
No
one will know that without looking it up.
I beg to differ because
To the internet.
The name is used copiously throughout that film. Over and over again, they talk about this guy. So
look up copiously.
If you are a fan of Escape from New York, you're going to know this answer. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First two callers get through, get a pair of tickets to go attend Escape from New York on May 3rd with special guest Kurt Russell.
Call right now and we'll get right back to you.
That's right. We'll get right back to you.
Really.
We'll take down a message and then sometime...
Why would that guy ever say that?
We'll get back to you.
I don't know. That guy says a lot of things we don't understand.
He's a loon. He's just a loon. Congratulations to our buddy Chris Hardwick. Glad to see he's got another show.
What's he doing now?
Because he doesn't have enough shows. I think he needs more TV shows.
I love his Talking Dead.
Yeah, and he's got the Nerdist over on BBC America. Comedy Central has just announced he will be doing the late night talk show following the Colbert Report Monday through Thursday at midnight.
No kidding.
Chris Hardwick's new show will launch in the fall, so congratulations to Chris.
He's a good interviewer.
He is, and he's a good guy and well-deserved, Chris Hardwick. It's being produced by the people at Funny or Die, by the way, so...
He's going to kill himself with too many jobs.
Oh, sure. He's going to die young.
Other than that.
Well, I hope that celebrity bowling goes by then. I hope he has time to let that go.
How dare you?
Wasn't his dad like a professional bowler?
Yes. It was on the PBA. Professional Bowling Association.
Never stopped giving him
a hard time. But he got celebrity bowling on ESPN. They carry it there. So it's another show he's got.
Yeah. Awesome. I believe the Nerdist crew is supposed to go up against the Smodcast crew at some point.
Do you have a bowling team?
Smith and myself and some other members of the Smodco crew, there's been talk about us going up against the Nerdist bowling team.
Can you bowl, Ralph?
No. Kidding me? You know what? You and me, right now. $100, one game. $100, one game.
You can't bowl.
I'll have you know, I was a league bowler, Kevin.
Oh, wow. Does that explain a lot?
So
you say that proud.
Does that explain you saying I can't bowl?
No, I just don't think you can bowl.
What are you basing that on, Ralph? $100, one game.
All right.
You're on.
Boom.
Shakalaka.
Boom.
Boom. I just carried a 221 average. That's all I had.
Wow.
So why don't you come over here and knock down this 10-pin right here, Kevin?
You can't bowl. You never bowl.
I've never bowled.
Have bowled. Oh, that explains it. You always bowled.
I've never bowled a 221 in my life.
Well, good.
Kevin does always assume whatever people are saying is a lie, by
That's
the way.
Right.
Have you ever noticed that?
He has all the answers until he's confronted with the opposite, and then he hates whatever answer you give him.
Just wait and see.
The opposite.
Just wait and see. Your default position is always that people are lying. Like, why would you suspect that Ralph couldn't bowl? Why would that be your assumption?
You've never bowled. Why would you jump to that conclusion?
Who knows? It's you.
What does that mean?
It's you.
Let's be honest.
All right.
When can you guys go?
It is still me.
Because it only takes 10 minutes to bowl one game. When can you guys go to do that?
10 minutes? It's the last time you bowled there, Spina.
It's been a while. It's been a while. Doesn't take long.
You will beat me in four frames. So it will probably be about 10 minutes.
It's been a while since I did that.
That's what I'm saying.
The league bowling. But, I'm still...
You're gonna be. I can't believe it. I really used to be able to bowl.
Worst case scenario, I'm cracking, 160 somewhere in there, 170 somewhere.
Well, let's get a video made for KRock.com.
I'm gonna have the game of my life.
You think I can't handle a sport where drinking is actually encouraged and part of that sport?
That's true.
You don't want to mess with me with the alcohol related sports. You could best me, I'm sure, in many, many, many fields of expertise. But when it comes to like things like darts and bowling and
darts,
things that happen in or around bars.
Yeah.
I got dialed in. This is good news. You know that Lily James from Downton Abbey? She played Lady Rose McClare on that show.
I did not know her.
She is very, very attractive. Just been signed to star in Disney's new live-action take on Cinderella. New Cinderella movie. Well, we did have four Snow White movies last year, so I'm guessing Cinderella
right,
was
time.
was in the barrel. I'm sure there will be three competing Cinderella projects before it's all said and done. But Kenneth Branagh is going to direct, and Cate Blanchett will play the evil stepmother in that film.
Good pedigree. This Rose, she comes along in the 1920s, and she's like the modern, sexy girl. She's kind of the one who's like breaking out from Victorian England. And she's very, very cute.
She's a whore.
And she's a whore.
She's a whore. That's why I like her.
Bet she can't bowl, though.
No. You can't bowl. It's you.
I can't bowl.
Well, that explains a lot. You bowl.
Bitchin'.
Man. Congratulations to Andy Dick. He's got a new girlfriend. Jennifer Jimenez is her name. You may know her as the sobriety technician worked alongside Dr. Drew in Celebrity Rehab. She was also the manager of the Sober House on VH1.
She's the one that has to run after all the people, right?
And she cries a lot because everyone's mean to her. So good for Andy. Bad for Andy. He got booted off Dancing with the Stars last night.
Oh, finally.
Yeah. Well, he made it that far. It's surprising.
Finally. Weren't you rooting for Andy to get the covered
Absolutely.
Mirror ball?
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm stunned that he was still on. So he finally got booted. That's incredible for him. He was on a lot longer than anyone thought he would be.
He worked his ass off and really impressed
the
judges in many situations.
I was rooting for him, but not rooting for him enough that I was watching the show.
No, of course not.
Of course not.
You're rooting from afar.
He can't bowl. He's on the dick. He's never bowl.
You're sure touchy about your bowling.
Who's the potter bus?
It has nothing to do with my bowling. It has to do with your reaction to anything that's said. It's fascinating. All right, let's see if anyone knows my trivia question. By the way, Escape from New York came out in 1981. I think it was the mid-80s. It was actually the early 80s, so now we know the answer. Thanks, Chip, for that. Let's go to Corey. I think he was the first through with the correct answer. Corey, what's the name of the leader of the gypsies in the prison that is now New York City?
The Duke.
The Duke. You don't mess with the Duke. But that's the Duke's coming. The Duke. That's all you hear of the whole movie is the Duke.
Nice delivery, too, either. Corey.
Yeah. Hold on, Corey. We're going to give you all the details. You're going to see Escape from New York along with a Q&A with the film star, Mr. Kurt Russell. Hold on, we'll give you the details, okay? Thanks, man. Congratulations also to Joe, who called in with the correct answer. The Duke. You don't mess with the Duke.
You don't mess with the Duke.
Ernest Borgnine, is that cab driver? He's great in that.
I don't know what you're talking
about. You've never seen Escape from New York?
I don't know. I don't remember it. Sounds funny, though, that they walled around New York.
Ernest Borgnine is a cab driver inside New York City, and he's also in the prison there, and he's running around.
You got to look out for the Duke. Key Snake, look out. It's the Duke.
I keep saying that all the time. Today's celebrity birthdays. Another Red State alum also celebrates a birthday today. I mentioned last hour, Carrie Bechet, who played my daughter in Red State, is 29 years old today. Nick Braun is 25. For those of you who saw Red State, spoiler alert, he's the guy I brutally murder. I shoot him in the head. And then he brutally murders me.
How does that happen? In that order?
In that order.
Huh.
Yeah. I blast him in the head. And as he's going back, he's got an automatic machine gun in his hands. Through the convulsions of death, he pulls the trigger and it starts to spray as he falls backwards, and I get riddled with bolts and also die.
Love it.
Making him the most hated man in the history of cinema.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I haven't heard
Once
that.
They killed my character off, that movie just tanks.
I heard a lot of people cheered at that
no
moment.
No one
I
cheered.
Heard.
Everyone was sad.
So that guy was a good bowler.
Julie
Benz to see him go down.
Of Dexter, 41 years old today. Director Wes Anderson is 44. Country singer and actor Tim McGraw turns 46. Emilia Clarke. Game of Thrones, whatever. I call her M. M. Clarke is 26 years old today. And Ray Parker Jr. is 59. We don't have time for it in this hour either, but we'll have to have Bean recount his story of his lovely wife and her interaction with Ray Parker Jr. It's pretty magical.
I'd like to also put in a request for some Ray Parker on the show today. If you can make that happen.
Kevin, what are your favorite songs of all time?
It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
And the song comes from
the
that.
The song's super lame.
But Bean, what else should we be looking forward to from Mr. Ray Parker Jr.?
Wait, is this a setup? Should I know the answer to this?
No, I only know him really from that one hit. I'm sure he's had
Well, I love Jack and Jill, and I love The Other Woman. I love A Woman Needs Love Just Like You Do. I mean, he has so many great songs.
I don't know any
You can't
of those
change
songs.
That.
I don't know any
I don't
of
think
those
we
songs.
Need any of those.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Comedian Simon Amstel joins us next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show, and Adam Carolla coming up later on as well. So, last couple of days, I think we've been talking about Jonah Falcon. He came up in Ralph's showbiz news because he is the man with the 13.5-inch penis.
Yep.
This is a good conversation, by the way, for the families that may be taking the kids to school. So I'm glad you tuned in this morning to The Kevin and Bean Show. I'm going to learn a little something here today.
We try to teach as well as entertain.
So he's got a 13.5-inch penis. Actually, I should have asked Ralph to come in because I don't know anything about Jonah Falcon.
In.
Oh, hey, Ralph. Great. Is he in porn, by the way? I forgot to ask that.
No.
Really?
Nope.
What does he do?
I think, from what I remember, I saw a documentary piece on him, and he's got some kind of desk job or something. He's insurance or sales or something. Some basic job. Yeah.
You'd think you would go with your strength.
You would think.
Associate producer Christine is telling me we're going to be speaking with Mr. Falcon on the program tomorrow.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
All right.
We finally booked him, and we're going to have a conversation with Jonah.
That's fantastic.
Which makes you understand, really, that when you have just a conversation with him, and there's no 13 and a half inch penis involved
in the story.
There's not a lot there.
Well, don't screw us out of the interview before we get him on, Ralph. Come on. Trash talk him afterwards. So anyway, so he was in the news. Ralph was telling us yesterday because he has just released a single on iTunes called It's Too Big, and it's all about his incredible member. Could we hear a little bit of that, please?
I've heard it from all the guys and every single freaking girl.
They want to try and take a ride on the biggest in the world.
But in order to ride the beast, it must be unfurled.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and it keeps growing, growing. Too damn big, it's just too damn big. Your penis too damn big, it's just too damn big.
Too damn big, my penis too damn big.
Your penis too damn big. It's too damn.
You want to hear more?
Yeah.
No, I think that's fine.
Is that enough?
I think that's fine.
I hope they have a rap section there.
Your wig's too big to fit in your pants.
Be a whole rap section in that song.
So we were discussing yesterday, A, whether we would ever want that. And I think with the conclusion we all came to was pretty much no, right? At least I know Kevin and I were in
Ralph,
the
Ralph, am I on the show anymore? Does anyone listen?
Not to you.
Ralph is a yes.
And I think the rest of us were
emphatic yes.
I was an absolute no.
I was an absolute no also. Why again, Ralph? Why yes on this? Because this seems like it would just be a pain in the ass.
How much enormous fun would be to wield such a such an impressive weapon,
but
to carry Excalibur around with you as you travel throughout the countryside?
That seems like it would be fun for a little bit, but then it would be just nothing but a pain.
It'd be fun for a lot of it.
But how is it different from those women who, yeah, they are popular because they have a 60-inch boobs, but the reality is it's tough getting in and out of cars. It's tough finding clothes that fit.
I don't think it'll be tough to get in and out of cars with my giant penis. I don't think so.
I'm just saying it seems like it'd be
uncomfortable. It's nine flaccid. So if you wear a good pair of underwear, you're handled. Don't worry about it. I wouldn't go around like Jonah Falcon wearing my bike shorts and no underwear all the time.
He does wear bike shorts.
Just everything just dangling down there. I would keep it protected. I would keep it sheathed until it was time to unsheathe it and unleash the power! I have the power!
But then the woman would run.
I'd be like, He-Man. Well, you see, here's the thing. I ran with a different kind of woman than you guys did back in the day.
I see. All right.
You have to remember, I'm a guy. I've dated a couple different porn stars.
Yeah, that's true.
And some strippers. And I was with my kind of girl in my single days was a girl with a morally casual attitude.
Yes.
Who had a certain sense of adventure about certain things. So I don't think some of them would be scared, but many of them I think would just be fascinated.
Scared at first, maybe, and then intrigued.
Fascinated and intrigued, and take it perhaps as a challenge.
Once.
Well, the other half of the equation was what about the ladies? Ralph seems to think that for the most part the ladies would be intrigued and interested in something, but I feel that for most women it's too much.
Right. Exactly. So you know what happens? You're weeding out all of those women who are just no damn fun, and what you're left with is an amazing pool of really game goers who are just a blast or just a good time.
So fat women. That's what you're saying.
Once again, Kevin leads to the worst possible conclusion.
I'm saying you have to have a certain size to be able to work that
accommodate
in, so to speak.
I think you need to invest in some Blackzilla of DVDs and see the quality of women that Shane Diesel was able to pull in back in the day.
That so what are we looking though? For?
We're opening up.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, I see. We're opening up the phone lines at 1-800-520-1067. Are we looking for both guys who are packing it or girls who love it? Is that what we're looking for?
We'll take both, although I'm scared of the guys because I think the guys are going to be like, yeah, it's something.
Well, of course
I'm the man.
I would like to expand our horizons, though, and even talk to fellas who are gay.
Right.
Who are fascinated by size and desirous of that, because it seems to be a very popular attribute in the gay community is that a lot of gay guys are looking for guys who are carrying around monsters.
But there's monsters, and then there's a mega monster.
Look, that's what I'm saying. Let's open it up to straight, gay, whatever. What have you? If you've got an opinion, if you've got a take on massive Johnsons,
Okay.
We'd like to pick your brain, as it were, and see what's going on. Because so if I was rocking the spleen splitter, if I was gifted to that extent in that region,
right,
the world would be mine. That's all I'm saying. The world would be my oyster.
But the world would not want to be your oyster.
But I would just take it. I would just shuck that oyster with my giant paring knife. That's what I would do.
Are we only looking for women who approve of the 13?
No, either way. All comers. We're welcome all comers to our show today.
So to speak. Right. So 1-800-520-1067.
Oh, well, that's all we want. We all want the big one, don't we?
That's the
right.
toll-free number exactly. we are opening up right now. Can we squeeze in Tim just real quick?
I doubt it.
He's even high.
Have you read?
He's first up on line one, and then we'll talk to him, and then we'll come back with all the other calls. Again, toll-free 1-800-520-1067. Tim, where do you fit into this conversation?
Hi. Well, I've grown up most of my life with one. I guess it started like in junior high. And the sucker was already like 9-10 inches long by then.
In junior high?
No. I mean, I had girls, but no, I'm not the most attractive guy. But it was horribly embarrassing because I don't know if you guys had the same problem, but I had like a nonstop erection from 6 to the end of 9th
sure,
grade.
Sure, we all do going through right. puberty, right?
Yeah. So the thing was so hard to hide or keep quiet.
Keep quiet?
I had a lot of,
what, did it roar?
Well, it was pretty loud sometimes.
Why do you want to keep that quiet? I would get a billboard outside of school, and I would let the ladies know what they were in for. And you said yourself, you're not that attractive a guy. What a great sell. What a great advertising element you have, right, built into your pants.
I don't know, man. In junior high, it was more traumatizing than anything.
All right, that would be embarrassing. You wouldn't want everybody in class, Ralph, staring at your erection every day when you're sitting there in science class.
I would.
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
But what about now?
How about as an adult, Tim?
Yeah, I'm getting pulled over by a cop because I was talking on the phone in the car.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah. Whip it out, man.
Whip
Maybe
it
get out.
Out
of the ticket.
It works. Just lay it on your lap and just see what happens.
Good luck. All right. Sorry about
Maybe
that.
Maybe you'll get a gay cop. That'd be the best situation ever.
That'd be
for
awesome.
Everybody.
You call us back and go, guys, not only did I get out of a ticket, I'm engaged.
That's right.
So apparently.
Yes, officer.
So apparently.
The lady cop. It's such a great porn movie. Oh, I'm going to write that. I'm going to go put a call into Vivid.
He got pulled over, so having a giant Johnson doesn't get you out of all situations.
He should have held the phone with his Johnson and put both hands on the wheel. That's what
there
I
you go.
Done.
All right, Linda, you hold on, please. Steve, you as well. Everyone else, please call 1-800-520-1067. What's your take on this 13-inch penis? Is this a good thing or a bad thing? We'll be right back on the Kevin and Bean Show on camera.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
Yeah.
That just happened.
Blind Melon.
Blind Melon on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ.
2013, let me mention, too.
It is 2013.
It's also 2013.
That's correct. It is 727.
That man has the largest penis I have ever seen.
Yep.
I was distracted by the largest penis I have ever seen. Yep.
That's what we're talking about here on the Kevin Beach. We're talking about the man who's in the news because he's just released a new song about his giant penis. His name is Jonah Falcon. He's got 13 and a half inches.
Yep.
And we're taking
calls. You know a ruler? You know a ruler? You take a ruler?
Right. Yeah.
Add another inch and a half to that.
Yeah, bigger than that.
Yeah.
So we're taking calls from our listeners to find out whether that's a good thing, something you would welcome, be excited to see, or if you would, in fact, as I suspect, most people would run the other way because hell's no.
Cowards.
Hell's no.
Fine. Then you know what? You're not banging cowards. That's fine with me.
Let's
have sex with the brave people. That's where I'll be over here.
Steve. Steve is on line six, and he is one of our gay listeners who could weigh in with that perspective, at least for him. Steve, welcome to the Kevin Beach Show. Thank you for listening, my friend. What's going on?
Well, yeah, I would not run away. I think that would be very interesting.
You do?
Exactly, Steve.
Yeah. Yes.
Not scary?
Man up and go forward instead of backwards.
Okay. Speaking of backward, wouldn't you be hesitant? Maybe you don't engage in that particular predilection, but wouldn't you be hesitant to engage in that behavior with a man that large?
I would be, because that's extreme.
Right.
Yeah, right. So that would be a little...
But there are other things you're saying you could do that would make it fun.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Steve sounds like, I'd be afraid at first, but you could talk me into it, is what it sounds like I'm hearing.
Buy me a beer.
All right, Steve, thank you for calling. Let's go to the other side of the spectrum. Let's get Deanna on. She is on line two, or Dina, I'm not sure which. Welcome to the show. What's up?
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, you know what? I do agree with Steve. I would be a little hesitant about it at first, but I think I could probably see what I can do with it. Like, I'm down for a new challenge.
Thank you.
Or else, right? Yeah, that's the kind of woman you want.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm down for a challenge. I can, you know, I can make it work.
Adventure.
Yeah, but in, you know, it's a very, you know, subjective topic. I think people like, you know, there's very, you know, there's one side of the spectrum where girls like them, you know, small, and then there's other ones where girls like them gigantic. And I'm kind
of,
I like the, you know, average or below average ones because, you know, my area is only, it can only take so much.
Right.
So I don't really
well, I think that's true.
I think that's true of all people.
You know, a person will come out of there someday, you know. It can take a lot more than you think.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Dia. If something 8 pounds, 3 ounces can come out of there, you're fine. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about my python.
Let me close with this email from Kevin B. Listener, Kevin in Marina Del Rey, who writes, would I want to have a 13.5-inch penis instead of what I have now? Well, before I can answer that, you have to tell me, how painful is penis reduction surgery? So you see, there's what Kevin has to say.
Wow.
All right. We'll take a break and come right back with a brand new Kevin B. Internet Roundup right after this.
The latest from 30 Seconds to Mars on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ called Up in the Air. They got a brand new CD coming out 3 days after they play the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013.
Yes, we're going to be hanging out with that band 2 weeks from Saturday at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Tickets are going on sale Friday at noon for KROQ Street Team members. That is just a fancy way of saying just register at the website so you can get the password. You can buy the tickets through Ticketmaster Friday at noon to see 30 Seconds to Mars along with the Black Keys, Vampire Weekend, Of Monsters and Men, Silver Sun Pickups, Jimmy Eat World, Imagine Dragons, who, by the way, people may not even recognize their name. You've heard a lot of their songs here on KROQ, and they are great live. You're
and the rest of the album so is much fantastic as well.
Yeah, they're tremendous. Also, AWOL Nation, Atlas Genius, that's all the main stage here that day. And then Fits in the Tantrums, The Neighborhood, Capital Cities, New Politics, and 21 Pilots all playing the side stage. DJ music from C2C. So it's a great, great lineup. You can get all the details and make sure you're set to buy your tickets. Go to krock.com. That is also the place where you want to go, as you do each week about this time, for Kevin Amin's all-new Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Live so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
Can we have the listeners create a new theme? Or
I like that one. I'm coming around on that one.
Really?
First I hated it, and now I like it again.
Well, what we do is we find the best viral videos of the week, and we put them all in one handy-dandy convenient location for you so you can check them out at krock.com or kevinamin.com. A lot of great ones. Some don't have audio, so we can't play them for you on the radio. This gymnastics routine, and I know you're not going to believe I'm saying those words, but this gymnastics routine video that we put up is one of the craziest things I've ever seen in
my
life.
It isn't possible, if that's what you're saying.
It does look like it must be CGI, or this is the bendiest woman in the world.
Can she handle balls?
Can she handle balls? You have got to, if you do nothing, if you watch no other videos the In and Around Up, watch this gymnastics video up at kevinamin.com. It will blow your mind. Somebody got the great idea 30 years after the hit song by Kiss called Beth to do a recreation of it with guys dressed up like Kiss, and Peter Criss is calling home explaining to his girlfriend Beth why he can't be there because the guys need him to write a song, and it's actually very, very clever. Check it out.
Beth, what can I do?
Well, you can hurry up because I'm starving. I didn't get to eat lunch.
You say you feel so empty that our house just ain't a home.
Wait, what? And are you talking about when I asked you to empty the garbage?
I'm always somewhere else, and you're always alone.
Just stop apologizing.
Like, who decides 30 years later, hey, somebody needs to make a music video showing what Beth was like when it was being
written. Let's recreate that.
Isn't that weird? Here's a guy who had a great idea. He did a very funny video of your cat friends versus your dog friends, where he had human beings playing cats and playing dogs. So, for instance, when you walk into the apartment, your cat, and it's a guy playing a cat, runs and hides behind the blinds like cats do.
Because cats blow.
Cats are awesome. But so are dogs. Here's his friend who's playing a dog explaining what the dog would be like if he were human.
Tim, there's a guy out here. Tim, there's a guy. He's walking. I can see him. I don't think he can see me. I don't know. I think we should do something. No, false alarm. He's gone.
Look, I love dogs more than anybody. Thank God they can't talk. Can you imagine how annoying a dog would be if he could talk?
Oh, yeah, that would be annoying.
They would never stop. I mean, this video is very funny because people walk through the front door and a human being who's playing a dog just comes and just pounces on him, just starts sniffing him and just does everything that dogs do. It's very funny. All right, here's the strangest video you're going to see on the Roundup this week. Remember Tila Tequila, you guys?
Oh, yeah.
She had a bit of a video presence. She was the first person back on in the MySpace days to get like 5 million followers. And she used to put up these little videos and they were kind of sexy. And then she went all crazy and she started doing drugs and she started saying all sorts of weird things. But she's been off the radar for a little bit. Well, she's back and she's back in a big way. She's done a video that's 7 minutes long of her explaining to us that she can create energy balls and electricity with her fingers.
And she shows you this for 7.5 minutes, and there's nothing there.
Well, I can't see anything there. If she can, God bless her.
She can.
I can't see anything, but here's a little of the video of her explaining the magic that is coming out of her fingertips.
I can literally manipulate the air somehow and create all types of energy forms and lasers, and it's pretty freaking awesome. So let me just focus here. Watch. Look in between my palms. You see how it's already coming out?
Nope. Don't see a thing. But whatever you're taking, I want some.
It's like spending a night with a drunk friend who's just rambling about something you have no idea. You can't understand at all what it is they're talking about. That's what the Tila Tequila video is like. Yesterday, about this time, we had our friend Rob Delaney, very funny comedian, in talking about his recent appearance at the Dodgers game. If you missed it, the video is up at the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup. Here's a little of him singing the national anthem.
And the Rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there.
We don't know that much about Rob Delaney, although we read his tweets all the time. He's funny, and he's a comedian. He was on April Foolishness. Who knew he had that skill?
No one knew that. That was amazing. That was such a surprise. Here's a song you're never going to ever get out of your mind. This was the official country entry for the Eurovision contest, which is a huge singing competition that they have in Europe. And this was the official entry from the band from Estonia, I want to believe. And they're wearing like crazy Mexican wrestling outfits, and one guy's got like a giant gorilla head on. But wait till you hear their song. And I guess it was a hit in Estonia. It's called Winnie Pooh. Check it out. Is it too late to get them on the Weedy Rose?
Oh, that's strong.
Our friend Mike Realm, who also DJed April Foolishness for us, is the best video remixer in the world today. He has taken clips from all three Iron Man movies. It's a trilogy remix, and it's awesome.
It's amazing.
Sounds like he should be making Beastie Boys records or something. The guy is so incredibly talented. You definitely have to check that out. White House Correspondents Dinner was this past weekend in Washington, D.C., and one of the video clips that was prepared that was very funny is Steven Spielberg talking about his sequel to his hit movie Lincoln. He decided he was going to make a movie about President Obama. And the clip that you're about to hear is going to be Steven Spielberg and then Daniel Day-Lewis talking about what it's like to be President Obama. But, of course, he's being played by President Obama. It's incredible.
So I needed someone who could dive in and really become Barack Obama. And as it turns out, the answer was right in front of me all along. Daniel Day-Lewis. He becomes his characters.
Was it hard playing Obama? I'll be honest, yeah, it was.
This is Obama.
This accent took a while. The cosmetics were challenging. I mean, you wouldn't believe how long it takes to put these ears on in the morning. I don't know how he walks around with these things.
How funny is it to have the president playing along for a gag like that, making fun of himself? I like it. And finally, as we do each week in the Internet Roundup, our friend Jimmy Kimmel does this feature we love so much.
This week in unnecessary censorship.
It's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning.
Chore number one is those crazy cats.
This report is an inconvenient truth for many out there who oppose f***ing, which has given us so much natural gas.
That's true.
See, because none of those things really need to be beeped, but he beeps them and they sound dirty in there. Nah, you can see that in all the videos anytime. KevinandBean.com or KRock.com. It's a brand new Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean, Internet Roundup.
Very excited. Welcome the very funny Simon Amstel joining us right after the top of the hour here on KRock. First, though, Rob's got the showbiz beat on a Wednesday. Good morning.
Simon and I were talking in the other room, and I don't believe Bean was here the first time we had Simon on.
Oh, is that right? Oh, I didn't realize he'd been in before.
Oh yes. We had a great time last time he was in.
It's funny as hell. He's like you, but funny.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm looking forward to that.
He's got a very unique perspective on the world, and he's got quirks. Can we say quirks?
We could say quirks.
That would be a kind word. Last time he was here, we talked about the fact that he took some sort of tribal drug in the jungle and vomited black sewage for 5 days. Remember that? That was a fascinating conversation.
I am sorry
but
I missed
but he was
that.
Purged.
That's right.
He was purged of all his anxieties and his bad feelings and stuff, so it worked for him.
Somehow he felt better after
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he felt
he
cleansed.
He still seems awfully effed up, though, right, even after that.
Oh, it came back. Don't get me wrong.
No, I think he's good now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, we can ask him.
All right, let's talk about one of my favorite topics, which is concert contract riders. Things that persnickety, head-up-their-butt performers demand in order to allow them to come to your venue and make millions of dollars.
It's hard to imagine that these people make these demands every place they go.
Can you imagine?
Well, the hoops you have to jump through.
The gall of some of these people. Anyway, this is Beyonce's rider. As you can imagine. Can you imagine this high-maintenance bitch? Imagine what she's asking for.
And she's,
someone's
let's
been
face
just
it.
Catered to her whole goddamn life, what she demands and gets.
Yeah, she's pretty much used to a level of service above first class, right?
Yeah. She can go to illegal countries, for God's sake.
That's true.
No one cares. But here's what she demands. Fascinating report. $900 worth of drinking straws for her dressing rooms.
Drinking
straws?
Drinking
straws.
$900 for titanium straws, which will be used to drink a special alkaline water that is served at exactly 21 degrees.
No.
Now, I'm guessing
that's already not possible.
I'm guessing it's 21 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, it'd have to be.
Because I believe this report came out of Australia, perhaps.
Do they titanium use Celsius down there? Straws.
Titanium straws so she can drink specifically cooled water that is alkaline balanced.
And what kind of fancy cup did you say?
No, it's straws. Drinking straws. $900 titanium straws.
Wow.
Her entire crew, that means the set riggers, everyone working, lights, staff, anyone backstage, must wear 100% pure cotton.
Everyone
must wear 100% pure cotton. Do not throw that stuff in the dryer, people. You will shrink right up on you. She demands that all of her dressing rooms be freshly painted off-white color and that there be a new toilet seat at every event. And that toilet seat must be red.
Red?
That's not something you can go down to Lowe's and just pick up. You're not going down to Home Depot and find yourself a red toilet seat.
Why?
I can only imagine.
Can you imagine every venue she goes to, they have to paint the backstage? Hey, why are you painting that? It already looks great. Well, Beyonce's coming in for one night, so I have to repaint the room.
I gotta find me one of those red toilet seats. Anybody?
Oh,
just give
gosh.
Me a magic marker. Give me a anybody got a red Sharpie? No junk food backstage of any kind anywhere. Only glass platters of almonds, oat cakes, and green only crudité will be allowed.
Okay.
And my favorite, after every performance, she must be handed a hand-carved ice ball to suck on to cool her throat.
This is a joke.
This is real. A hand-carved. Don't give me one of those pre-processed ice balls. You know the ice balls you picked out up down there at Ice R Us? I don't want them coming out of the molds. I want someone to hand-carve me an ice ball and then give it to me backstage so I can cool my throat after my prolonged singing of all the single ladies.
Is there a sculptor that travels with her, or does each venue have to provide
his
own?
They have to provide their own.
No.
You send a rider. It's trouble there when you're in Des Moines and you have to find yourself an ice sculptor at 4 o'clock in the morning to come back there and sculpt her ice balls.
Oh, my God.
What does she need?
Just the ball.
Just.
But it has to be sculpted?
I need one ice ball, please. Get yourself a block of ice and just whittle it down to a ball. Mouth-sized ball, please. Thank you.
Not a unicorn or anything like that, just a ball.
Just an ice ball.
That's a crazy rider.
And we know about crazy riders.
Oh,
how dare you.
You!
Speaking of demands, during her March Super Bowl performance...
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Miss Beyonce demanded that her baby, Blue Ivy, her crib be shipped from New York to New Orleans. So that baby Ivy could have sleep in her own $22,000 cedar crib.
Wow.
Shipped from New York to New Orleans. And at the cost of the Super Bowl promoters, the dressing room had to be stocked with $6,000 worth of imported cigars and alcohol for Jay-Z. Oh, I see. So I can't wear anything but cotton, but Jay-Z can just fill the room with cigar smoke as Blue Ivy lies in her cedar crib. You bite me, Beyonce. Put a ring on this. Right here. You like it? Put a ring on it. I've got no time for goddamn people anymore. Ridiculous.
How do you get to that point?
It's, man. How much do you have to be catered to that you can actually say, yes, give me this? You know, there used to be a day where people would show up at a place and just sing and then go home.
Yeah. Can they just paint it white? No, no. Off-white.
Off-white. And no red toilet seat? No Beyonce. Madness.
That is a little bit of abusing the privilege. I mean, the whole point of that was supposed to be so that you had, I don't know, a bottle of, a 2 liter of ginger ale in a fruit platter. I mean, that's really all you needed, right?
Yeah. You know, Kevin Smith and I do Hollywood Babylon, and we're doing it down at Long Beach Laugh Factory this Saturday night. Go to longbeach.com or babylonralph.com to get your tickets. Come see us down there in Long Beach. But we have riders. We have contract riders.
Right.
I had no idea that a person of my level could have that option. They said, what do you want in your rider? I was like, I can have a rider for these things when we do the shows?
Get the balls.
Yes.
Get the ice balls.
I'm not getting
ice balls.
You know what we have? You know what? We got, I get a liter of Jack Daniels.
Right.
That's all I asked for. Kevin, bag of Chips Ahoy. That's all we need. And we're happy. We show up and that's what we have. So I got a bottle. He's got a bag of Chips Ahoy chocolate chip cookies.
That's how it starts.
Everybody goes home happy. We do our little show. Everybody goes home.
That's how it starts.
I don't need to suck on ice balls after the show. I don't need to sip my Jack Daniels through a titanium straw.
What if you have to use the toilet while you're there, though?
I demand that they remove the toilet seat and then I just go on the floor.
There you go.
That's my rider. I just crouch. I just guzzle Jack Daniels and crouch and just unleash. All right.
I love it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Good batch. A couple of my co-stars from Red State are celebrating their birthdays today. Carrie Bechet, who played my daughter on that show. She is, where's my list? She is 29 years old today. Nicholas Braun, also from Red State, 25 years old. Emily Clark from Game of Thrones is 26. James Dornan from Once Upon a Time, he's 31 years old. He's dreamy. Julie Benz from Dexter's 41. Wes Anderson, the director, is 44 years old. Country singer and actor Tim McGraw is 46. And singer-songwriter legend Ray Parker Jr. celebrates 59. Jack, wanting
someone to feel. This is the dumbest song ever.
That's right. Went up that hill. Waited all day for Jill. Oh, Jack waited for Jill, man.
What did Jill do?
I don't know. Oh,
Jill.
And now we'll never know what happened to Jack and Jill. I'm Ralph Garman. I walked the show.
Go to KRock.com for all the details on this year's Weenie Rose. KRock Weenie Rose 2013 is coming up 2 weeks from Saturday. Great lineup. Great local charities benefiting. Just be a street team member to buy your tickets Friday at noon, Friday at noon, Friday at noon. Adam Carolla joins us later. Right now, Simon Amstell back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Simon.
Hello, Bean.
How are you? Welcome back to America, my friend.
Thank you very much. How are you?
Doing fine, thanks. It's great to have you. As Ralph was mentioning on the air, I was not in last time you stopped by, so I'm delighted that I'm here to meet you this time around.
Well, you're not here now.
That's a good point as well.
No, on the show. I mean, on the show, yeah. Right. I'm at home in my pajamas or less. Simon, when you're in Britain and you're doing comedy, it seems like you could make a great living. You're very popular back home, but how does it work when you start to think about taking over the rest of the world?
Well, your ego drives you insane, and then you have to realize that it's not about breaking into America. It's about just the joy of being here.
Spoken as somebody who's taken a swing and a miss, though.
Yeah, it's really tough, I think, if you have an aim, if you want something, if you need something badly. And I realized after about 7 weeks of being in New York that I just loved being in New York performing comedy, and it wasn't about getting anywhere or needing to be something. It was
that seems like the secret to any happiness.
Yeah,
that's lower your expectations.
Every time I speak, consider it a secret to happiness.
What is it you enjoy so much about being in America versus at home? Because a lot of people, they love to travel, but after a short amount of time, they really can't wait to get back home.
I just, well, I like being at home as well, like you, Bean, you weird recluse.
Yeah.
But I like being new as well. It's quite nice to go somewhere where people don't have any expectations. They're just there to see some sort of comedian, and then you say, well, I'm this sort of comedian, and they go, my goodness, I've never seen anything like this. Who is this guy?
Are you so well known in Britain that it is a hassle for you to go out in public?
No. I've got a sort of very strange level of fame. I've always been quite, I suppose, a bit low key. I've always like done various television programs from the age of 18. I've been like
you were TV host at first for a while, right?
TV host, yeah. And then we wrote a sitcom. And I've always made an effort to not do any press because I always thought I was sort of on TV enough that was enough. And if there was anything else, it would just sort of be a bit annoying. And
so you thought if you did press, if you did interviews and stuff like that, they would then get tired of you too quickly.
Yes, and so they haven't become tired of me, but what it has meant is that a lot of people haven't heard of me.
Okay, good. But now, is that the goal?
Well, I think so. I think you don't want everyone to know who you are because that could lead to hate.
Correct.
Yes.
Whereas
I understand where you're coming from.
If you have a small number, or you just all you need really is enough people to fill the room that you're playing, or to watch the television program, or see the film that you're making. You don't need the entire world to say, this guy, what about this guy? Like, I mean.
But wouldn't that be better?
Well,
what if everybody said, wow, this guy?
I think they will after I'm dead. But at the moment.
At the moment, you don't need that?
No, it's fine at the moment.
Why are you playing Largo?
Because it's such a good room.
It is a good room.
And a man told me that's where I should go.
Right, but it's the size of this studio, Simon. It seems like you're
holding like 20 people. Maybe you're shooting a little low.
Well, I'm not famous here. I mean, what do you want me to do?
Well, you're more than famous enough to sell out the Largo, though. You could certainly play a bigger room if you – or do you not like bigger rooms?
Well, I do like smaller rooms.
You do.
And I think it's just probably for the best at the moment that that we sell out a small room rather than me thinking that I'm a bigger deal than I am.
And only selling the first two rows of
a
bigger
place?
Yeah, I
mean, that would be very upsetting, both my ego and spirit.
What is it like? You're kind of a shy, introverted guy, right? What is it like to play a smaller room where you can sort of make eye contact with everybody? Do you see them?
I think it makes you more honest.
It does.
You can't really just go and do the show. You have to really feel the emotions of the thing you're talking about because you're with these people. It's a real conversation.
Is it more difficult?
I prefer it. I like
you do.
It. Yeah, it's not that it's... I think it requires more energy, but I think you get more energy from performing like that. That it's not a performance. That it's a real thing happening between you and the people there, and you're sensitive to what they're feeling. And
you're up on stage and there's a spotlight and you can't see anybody and
that
whole deal.
And I don't even do arenas and stuff like that in England because it's just too much of a... It would be... I'm talking about depression and I'm talking about... You know, you can't come out to an arena to 10,000 people and go, I'm so sad!
That's not a big room type of comedy?
I don't think so. I think you have to really... you have to be like, hey, guys! Hey, look at this thing over here! Look at my big... I don't know. Look at my big head on that screen.
This is the voice of Simon Amstel here on the Kevin DeBeach Show, performing at the Largo, by the way, Thursday and Friday night. Tickets are available through largo-la.com for just $30. Simon is very, very funny. And I wanted to ask you this, because you mentioned the depression, which is the cornerstone of your act, and I certainly appreciate that. I love a good depression story. Do you find...
I know, let's talk about you. How are you feeling?
Yeah, let's do.
Let's not. But do you find...
let's not. And the wall came down.
Do you find
you know that
like
wall. You recognize that wall.
Like a lot of people who write very sad songs, mm-hmm. Morrissey is a great example. Do you find that you have lots of very terribly glum fans?
Well, yeah, and I have to be sensitive to that because sometimes I make them cry and they leave.
Well, that's not ideal for a comedy show.
Yeah, you have to be very. Yeah, I noticed that because I talk a lot about. Disconnectedness and loneliness. I mean, it's a very joyful show. You have a jolly good night out.
I've seen the stand-up. You're very, very good at it, and you're very funny, but the topic is...
But you do go home and live with a loaf of bread. I mean, essentially, that's what it boils down to, right?
I don't eat bread. Why would you eat bread?
Or whatever. I mean, I'm just saying, it's
you live with a loaf of bread? Is that an American phrase?
No. I'm just saying, you just go home. You're not going home to... You know, a model. You're going home to whatever's in your fridge that night. That's your life.
I've got a very hot cat.
You have a hot cat.
Yeah.
Very good.
Like your last big television special was on New Year's Eve, and I sensed that you did that because your fans had nothing to do that night.
Well, it was a happy coincidence. I mean, it wasn't my choice, but I think somebody at the BBC thought it was a good idea. Yeah.
His audience will probably be home on that night.
Yeah. Right. Perfect, right? How you enjoyed 7 weeks in New York. How much time are you going to be able to spend in Los Angeles?
Only about, well, I've been here for 2 nights, and it will be only be another 3 nights, so not
that long.
Oh, that's
a quick trip.
You don't like it here.
No, I do like it here a lot. It's just we've got to go to San Francisco and then Seattle.
And then Seattle. Yeah. He said when he sat down, I'm coming up to Seattle, and Bean said, yeah, I'm not going to.
Yeah, he said he's not going to come. I was like, I'll be in Seattle.
Yeah, it's got to be 4 miles from where I am, though. That's a long way to go.
Will you go
show.
To his house? That's
what do you want? What, and pee in some bottles with him?
Well,
how did you know that? All right, we need to take a quick break. Simon Amstell is here on the Kevin Amin Show again, performing at the Largo. If it's not already sold out, it will be with this announcement. So go immediately to largo-la.com. You will love it. Just $30 Thursday and Friday. More with our guest in a moment on the Kevin Amin Show on camera. Simon Amstell in studio with us here on the Kevin Amin Show. Seems like a lovely fellow. He is performing at the Largo Thursday and Friday night. Tickets available for just $30 at largo-la.com. You did your first stand-up at age 13, Simon?
Yeah, I was a bit odd.
That seems that's unusual.
That's an awkward age anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think, I don't know what.
What gave you the stones to go, I'm going to be a stand-up?
I was just so peculiar. I was at like a Saturday morning drama club, and there was the annual show, and there were two dance numbers that had been scheduled one after the other. One was a tap number, the other was a ballet number. Right. I was not in either, although I did get a certificate in preparatory tap. And they needed something to happen to be happening in front of the curtain while those dancers were changing.
I see. Okay.
And so I said, I could do stand up.
Now,
and
what made you say that?
I guess I'd seen a lot of stand up on TV, and I think it was about that I would be the only person on the stage.
Okay, that was important at that time. You thought, thought everybody would be focused on me.
I think it's very important that everyone watches my 13-year-old self like telling really bad jokes and like wearing a waistcoat and like a bow tie.
It can't have been good.
No, it wasn't good. But the few laughs I got felt so good.
So you got a couple laughs, and then that was like, that's it.
You're hooked.
I was like, oh my God, this is, oh, this validation, this love. This is what I need now that daddy is gone.
And you, when you were a little kid, wanted to be a radio announcer, right? That was the goal? You listened to radio shows and wanted to be on?
I used to have a little, what is this called? A mixing desk, whatever this is called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, board.
Mixing I used
board.
To have one of these things in my bedroom.
Why?
I was such a geek.
Why did you have that?
Because I would pretend to be on the radio in my bedroom. Yeah.
I did the same
thing. That's what
Bean
did when he was a kid.
Yeah, when I was six, seven, 8 years old, I used to make my own little radio shows. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, this is nothing to be proud of for us.
No, that's my point.
What's wrong with it?
Except for the fact, by the way, that planted the seeds of what eventually turned into our careers, though. So it wasn't for waste.
It's true, it's true. But don't you think, what's your background like class-wise, Bean? Are you...
What do you mean class-wise? You mean rich, poor?
Are you poor?
Oh, no. My dad was a government worker. We were middle class, but happy family. Parents stayed together forever, you know?
I had a bit of that. Oh, well, that's good for you.
Thanks. He's not rubbing it in. He's just, you
asked. Parents stayed together forever. All right.
Well, no,
all right.
Children,
not everything works out.
How
you know,
about
it
yours?
Wasn't my fault, Bean. How about
children
yours?
Children who are loved find out that their parents bother to stay together. That's what happens. That's my experience, anyway.
Oh, not your experience, Simon?
Well, this is why I'm depressed.
Yeah.
Yes.
But what I don't know what I was going to say. I think I was going to say something like that somebody should have rather, like, it was nice, and I wanted this mixing desk, and you know, they got it for me, but I feel like they should have said, maybe the piano. Then I could be like a cool guy in a bar now, playing the piano, and I, like, learned to juggle. And why did I... If I'd have learned the piano, I could be like a cool guy in a bar taking requests. There are no requests with juggling other than don't juggle.
Don't do that.
Why? Please.
When you're older than six, juggling is not cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Did you go to clown school or something?
Yeah, but that wasn't really juggling and that sort of thing.
No, but it was clowning.
It was about finding your inner child, your inner joy, your vulnerability. And
I
really,
I can totally see that.
Changed the way I perform.
It did.
Yeah, because it's not about being the alpha male in the room and trying to sort of make these people laugh. It's about trying to find love for the people in the room, being sensitive around them and that sort of thing. And it sounds a bit sort of, I mean, they're really, like, weird exercises.
You're making it sound cool.
Am I?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good.
Cooler than I had thought.
Yeah, but it was, like, horrible. It was, like, a month, and this guy called Philippe Goliot, who Sacha Baron Cohen studied with, he's just mean. And every time you would get up to do some sort of exercise and try and make the class, feel your joy, your inner vulnerability, your idiot. It's about finding your idiot, not being the intelligent person in the room, but being the most stupid.
Right.
And
I've nailed that.
He would,
but go ahead.
He had a drum that he would bang every time you were too boring. And that's all I heard for a month. That
wow.
drum.
Wow. Yeah. Wouldn't it be crazy that's if life rough. Were like that? Like every office had a drum, and if somebody started getting boring, they would hit the
like,
drum.
Bong, this is so boring. Who wishes Simon was dead?
That's what it was. No wonder you had problems.
I know. Simon, yeah.
It's so interesting to me to think about you being this introverted, sad little child at home talking to yourself in a tape
yeah,
recorder.
Yeah, talking to myself.
And then, but then, I don't understand how you become the guy who's then a wildly popular television host and a ringmaster on TV of other people. I mean, like, how do you make that transition? How did you find the become extroverted enough to be able to even apply for jobs on television?
The only place I was extroverted was on a stage. The only place I felt like safe to be fully myself was in front of a microphone or in front of a camera.
So if you're in a room with people, you're uncomfortable.
That's
if you're on a stage
difficult.
In front of people.
Yeah, then I don't know if it's about control or I just felt like you can get, and I feel still it's the same thing. Like I can say anything on that stage at Largo tomorrow night, anything mm-hmm. I want. There's total freedom. Whereas at a dinner party, you have to not say certain things.
That's very true.
Otherwise people, get very upset and they...
Yeah. Do you have trouble looking people in the eyes? I do.
I thought you said licking. Do I have
no
trouble
looking? Looking. Or licking. Either one.
I used to, but I think I went on another course to learn how to do that.
Last time you were here, you talked about going to South America. You were eating some kind of snake or venom.
I didn't eat a
snake.
What
the F was that about?
I drank ayahuasca, and now I'm God. It was great. It was really good.
Here's the difference between you and me, Simon, besides the fact that you're young and successful
and
rich
funny.
And famous and funny and all those good things, God. Is that you seem to be willing to put in the time to get help and to learn how to do new skills and to learn how to relate better with your surroundings. I'm not at that point yet. I still need to just stay home in my cocoon.
You passed that line a long time ago.
So I guess what I'm saying is that's meant to be a compliment, and that I applaud the fact that you spend so much time working on yourself, and it seems like it is paying dividends for you.
Yeah, I feel better than I've ever felt. But if you don't feel like you need to do anything, then you don't need to do anything.
Oh, yes, he does.
What are his main issues, would you say, Kevin? We'll deal with him
His
now.
Main issue is that he... You know, we need to take a break. Would you stick around for another one?
Yeah, sure.
Stick around for another one, and then we'll talk about what Bean's problems are next.
Audible chocolate on the airwaves.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Ooh, ooh!
What did you do?
All right, it's the world-famous K-Rock. Simon Ansell is here, and he wanted to know what Bean's issues are.
Hey, why am I on the couch all of a sudden? Simon's the guest. He's the
he
one we're supposed
asked,
to be interviewing.
What are the issues? Did you ask or did you not
I
ask?
I did, but I mean, it's up to you. It's for you
no,
to
thank
you, Simon. I appreciate that. I've
but
got
I think
no
it
issues.
Would, I think it would help, though, just let the wall down,
Let the
Let's
wall
just
down,
just see one brick at a time. One brick at a time.
You know what Asperger's is? Asperger's, for those of you at home, with a P, not a B.
So I've heard of it, but I'm not quite sure the full...
It's a high-functioning autism.
Oh,
that somebody can
that's
have.
That's the best autism to have, though.
Can be super, super smart,
yep.
But socially, tarded.
Oh, I see. So that's why you don't leave the house, then,
right.
Bean.
I don't care for the people, Simon. You can identify with that, right?
Why? What happened in your childhood?
I don't think it's a childhood thing. I mean, honestly. But then again, as Kevin is loves to point out, I have very little memories of my childhood as well. So that usually
that
is
means he was touched, right?
Block out some sort of trauma. But I don't think there was any kind of problem. I just think the older I get, and I think a lot of people go through this. The older they get, the more fed up they get with other people, and the more discouraged they get by other people and the
but
way they behave.
You started out that way. Let me give a quiz. This is an Asperger's quiz. And you can both answer it. Maybe you have the same thing.
Oh, maybe Simon's got a little something going on here, too.
Great. I frequently get so strongly absorbed in one thing that I lose sight of other things.
I don't think that's a problem. I think that's about being in the moment.
Bean?
Oh, good spin.
So you say yes, though.
I'm going to say yes as well.
I'm that's what I hope for.
Other people frequently tell me that what I've said is impolite, even though I think it's polite.
Yeah, that's very true.
Ding,
is that
ding,
you?
Ding.
You have this too.
Yeah.
All right. I am fascinated by dates.
But what, the, like things?
Like the date sort of the date
oh.
of the...
Yeah. No, I'm not fascinated by
You're
dates.
You're not fascinated by dates.
No.
Right. Bean?
Yes.
What's your favorite date?
Well, 11-10-75 is my favorite all-time date because that's the date of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, which is a very famous American shipwreck.
Wow.
Right?
That
should tell you enough.
That really bored me, that moment.
Wait, somebody hit a gong.
I would rather go to a library than a party.
No.
Oh, see, Simon is, he's mad about town.
Bean, I tend to have very strong interests, which I get upset about if I can't pursue.
Totally,
that's
yeah.
Yes. I'm fascinated by numbers, that's Bean.
Totally.
What about you, Simon, no?
No. But, you know, I've got nothing against them.
I notice in patterns and things all the time.
Oh, yeah, but that's not a disease.
Of course not.
That is.
No, tell me about that, Simon. What patterns do you notice?
Well,
because I can't drive down the road without seeing every license plate that goes by and analyzing it in some way.
Oh, no, that's not what I mean.
Okay. What do you have?
You should not leave your house.
That's what his life is like for reals. Like, and
wow.
here's the biggest one, and this is the one that we run into trouble all the time, A. And B, sometimes works in our favor.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on what the situation is. I don't know how to tell if somebody listening to me is getting bored. The social cues of I'm having a conversation with you and you're bored out of your mind, but he can't tell, is
that's not
crazy
ideal.
Through the roof.
Especially as a sort of a public broadcaster.
Right.
Yeah.
So he'll tell us things all the time, and we tell him, that's the most boring thing ever. I'll say, you know, off the air, I'll say, I'd like to buy the movie rights to that or something to let him know, hey, no one cares. And it just doesn't matter to him.
Poor
he
Bean.
So he misses out on those social cues, but there are times when we have guests who are dicks.
Right.
When it comes in handy to have somebody, like
one?
He's an assassin.
Yeah, that's
he's
yeah.
a social assassin.
Yeah, that used to be one of those.
Did you?
Yeah.
Why is Simon so much better adjusted than I am, and he's supposed to be the depressed, the honked up one?
Because he tried to get better. What do you mean you used
like
to be one, a social assassin? What does that mean?
Well, part of my job was to sort of poke holes in the personalities of celebrities.
Oh, so you would interview them?
This is when you were
them?
Hosting, yeah.
Yeah, and I was a bit ruthless, a bit naughty.
But you would never be that way in real life.
Well, I would like to be, but it's not. It's frowned upon, and
yep.
So you can't do anything, can you?
It's frowned upon. You can't do anything. But he doesn't recognize.
That's
that.
Great. You stick with that.
No,
you're my hero.
Oh, no.
You're
I appreciate
my hero.
That.
Oh, no, you don't have to live with them, Simon.
Simon,
this went wrong.
How did? Although he sounds in a way healthier place than I am, that's
yes.
for sure. How did you do as a young person, as a teenager, say, with the ladies?
Well, not very well, because all my heart wanted was the boys. And so I tried my best. I found a very beautiful, flat-chested girl, and we had a couple of dates and a kiss. But ultimately, I immersed myself in my little mixing deck.
Your little mixing board?
Oh,
and, okay, so you're gay. I didn't even know that.
Oh,
so, okay.
Sorry, yes.
So how
I can
did
still
you,
stay, right?
How did you do with the boys?
how did you do with the fellas then? And I guess my
I can
question
still
is,
stay was his question.
the question was meant, and I made an assumption that it was the ladies, but the question was meant with your personality and with your introvertedness, did you find it difficult to date and develop romance at growing up?
Well, nothing happened at all until I was 21 because I was so terrified of who I was.
And, oh, I see. So you weren't even able to make any progress because
no.
it was frowned on, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, but I was so busy with, like, being
with
a weird stand-up and everything, so, and the juggling, you know. I just kept juggling
that
until
is the way to
was
get,
over.
That is the way to get dates.
That
of either
cuts
sex.
Into your dating time when you're juggling, right.
Yeah, but right, now so, I'm a wonderful lover, Bean.
So once you owned your sexuality and were comfortable with that, then you had normal dating experience, would you say?
What's that like in Britain? Was it frowned upon as much as it was here for many, many years?
Yeah, I mean, it was, yeah, I didn't think it was possible that it would be okay.
Oh, is that right? Ever?
Yeah, and I was in suburban Essex, which is about 40 minutes on the tube away from London, and, you know.
So you're kind of out in the sticks a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, it was not a thing that I thought would be okay. And then actually the culture changed, and one of the most funny and powerful comedians on television was a homo, and I thought, oh, this is... this is actually all right. And I just, and also it had been enough time lying, so I thought this is, and I was like, really, my penis was angry with me.
Hey, like, come on, let me out.
Yeah, let me out.
Let's get out there and work it.
We just had, in this country, we just had the first NBA athlete that come out.
Oh,
gay.
I saw
it
that,
was on
yeah.
Sports Illustrated
been,
cover and everything.
Everyone's tweeted lovely things and stuff.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, look, it's the best time in human history to be gay, let's face it, because the acceptance is finally so widespread now that if you are homophobic, you are in the minority in this country and in many countries around the world, which is a beautiful place to be, I think.
Yeah, and I think what we'll get to, and it's sort of where I've wanted to be for a long, long time, and I don't sort of make a big business about it, is that we'll sort of transcend even the words eventually. That
yes.
people won't be gay or straight. They'll just sort of be big
just
sex
people.
Because it won't matter. Because it won't
sex
matter.
People.
Yeah, I think. And, you know, you won't. It won't be like, oh, is he, isn't he, what's the good deal? And, oh, you know, kids will just sort of grow up with fluidity and sort of
right.
possibility. And
you sort of yawn when you hear somebody come
yeah,
out and make
think,
an announcement.
Yeah, it's like, oh,
well, I think we're finding out already that when, you know, several celebrities in this country have come out in recent years, and it's news the day they come out, and then it's almost never mentioned again because it's not that interesting.
Yeah,
that's
what else are you going to say?
It's like, right, exactly.
Yeah. And I never, and in my stand-up, I don't really talk about it. I talk about having a boyfriend or being dumped. You know, it's not about any kind of, because I'm not interested in the label. I'm not interested in any label at all. I'm
right.
not interested in that I'm a Jew or that I'm short-sighted. I'm sort of, these things are just sort of the words that we attach to ourselves.
Your afro.
To make ourselves, yeah, my lovely afro. you know, these are just the words that make us feel more comfortable about being with each other. And actually, the truth is that we're all God and love. Right?
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, a beautiful moment there
right?
on the Kevin and Bean.
Wow. Thank you very much.
I don't even know what that meant, but it sounded great.
It did. It sounded like we should engrave it on a monument or put it on the money or do something.
Let
that
me
was
tell
well
you,
said,
let
Simon.
Let me tell you what you need to know. Simon Amstell is way too good of a stand-up to be playing Largo.
That's for sure.
So, if you want to see him
no,
Thursday
I'll
or Friday
No, I'll cancel
night,
the gigs. Forget it. Forget
no,
it.
No, I'm
too
not
much pressure
to talk
now.
You out of it. If you want to see a great comedian in a small place, you should get these tickets because you will love it.
Yes, Largo-LA.com is where you buy the tickets. Just $30 with a show Thursday night and a show Friday night. Simon, it's a pleasure having you on the program. Please come back anytime you're in Los Angeles. We love
yeah,
you.
Yeah, this is my favorite, I think.
You think?
I think.
Right? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
We don't want the comedians to lose money on the deal is all I'm saying, Kevin.
Just saying.
I want Kevin's simple way of world looking at the world. I really do. All right. Adam Carolla joins us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph is here, 8:54. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
She's back. And she's better
she's
than ever.
Better than ever?
Who's back?
Farrah Abraham.
You love her.
Or, as Kevin would say.
Don't have it with me. Don't have it ready.
No.
Sorry.
Farrah Abramson.
Yeah, something like that.
She, of course, a teen mom, 16 and pregnant. Now, the backdoor teen mom, soon to be seen. Brought to you by Vivid Pictures.
Wait, in that movie that she made for privacy?
The private sex tape she made just to capture her beautiful body for her personal use for privacy that she made just for privacy.
Right.
She has sold to Vivid for almost $1 million, and it'll be on...
For me to be happy for myself,
right,
my own privacy.
For your own privacy.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, there isn't. Except if you're a lying whore, there's something wrong with that. So she's been getting a lot of response like mine is, which you're a lying whore.
Right.
And so she has posted a response to that. Are you familiar with keek.com?
Yes.
K-E-E-K.com. Mm-mm. It's where you can post your little film video clips or whatever that... It's like Moby is or TwitPic is for pictures on Twitter. This is for video clips on Twitter.
Right. Right.
It hosts your video clips. So she tweeted the following. Past is not present.
Okay, hold on.
She's deep.
Past is not present.
Right.
Okay.
So what she's saying
well, that's
is,
true.
You know all those lies I said before I sold my video?
Right.
Don't count those. Because we're living in the present now. It's not the past anymore. Remember when
oh.
I said I made it just for my own privacy and it was my own personal
but
business?
But that was last week?
No, but that was past. The past is not present.
Okay.
She continued, love you too, hashtag haters. P.S. Thanks for the porn star compliment. I love my body too, she wrote.
And then she posted the following video. Now, follow if you can. It's kind of hard because she did decide to record it in the back of a speeding sedan with the windows down. So there is a copious amount of wind noise on the microphone.
Not the best sound.
But see if you can make out what she's saying. And then, if you would, do me a favor and try to make out what she's saying.
What's up, family, friends, and fans? So I wanted to say, yes, there's a lot of hate because of the public eye has gotten my personal business. It should have remained personal. And I think a lot of my friends and family understand that and have experienced their own issues with people getting in their business when they should not and misinterpreting who we are from one time of being positive or celebrating what we want. And it doesn't mean that that's us. So past is not present. We are better than all the hate. And in our future, when we're doing good and they're not, they'll realize. Bye.
There.
She's got a point.
We've been told.
Say what?
Can you even begin to decipher what that was all about?
No.
All that doublespeak?
Not even I can do that. Wow.
Again, it's the public eye.
That's the problem. It's the only issue to her.
Getting in her privacy.
Private business.
Someone got their business right in her eye.
Right.
I think that was from the video.
I haven't seen it yet, but very possible.
Pretty sure she gets her the business right in her private eye. And somehow, we're to blame.
It's our fault.
Because she said all these lies about what she was doing, and this whole thing was a commercial enterprise to begin with, but we're haters, and we got into her private business. She's the one who sold the sex tape.
Right.
How is it we responsible for getting into her private business?
I don't know.
It's almost like she agrees to do a television show and then is angry at us for watching her.
Right. If you people are going to watch me on television and get in my private business, but I just happen to be in front of a film camera.
But the way she talks in circles, you don't even remember what the question was before she began speaking.
And as always,
and that's
and
me saying.
Maps with Africa and my family also issues with private business and in the getting and not what we were, past is present.
And when we're doing good,
then you'll be sorry. By the way, I don't think you're ever going to do good unless you learn it's you're doing well. Barry, you're not going to get a job working in anyone's office.
She has bigger problems than that. Farrah Abramson?
Yeah, that's her. Real quickly, last hour I talked about Beyonce's concert rider.
Yes.
Which I love. Interesting email I got. Let me read it really quickly. I was very interested to hear your story about contract riders, writes this listener. I'm in charge of the Gibson Amphitheater and deal with Kevin and Bean every year. For Acoustic Christmas and for April Foolishness.
Oh, this is going to be embarrassing.
Bean's contract riders are the following. A vat of blue ink. I don't know what he does with it, but it's always empty at the end of the show. Posters of Betty White in his dressing room. And I have to convert a storeroom into a fully functioning 7-Eleven, complete with a Pakistani clerk. Also, this year he demanded we demolish the theater after April Foolishness, so no other concerts can be sullied by playing it. What a diva. Kevin just asked for a case of vodka, and Beer Mug wants one of everything from McDonald's value menu. So you guys are not immune from the whole concert rider thing.
I'm embarrassed that got out.
Thank you, Edwin, for that. Today's celebrity birthday is Nicholas Braun, very talented young actor, is 25 years old today. Emily Clark from Game of Thrones is 26. Carrie Bechet from Red State and Argo celebrates her 29th birthday. Darcy Retzky, former bassist for the Smashing Pumpkins, and, of course, former L.A. King. She was a great player back
nope,
in the day. The great Retzky. The great Retzky, they would call her. And she,
that's Wayne
I think
Retzky.
She still holds many records in
very
the NHL.
Very different. Not the same.
She's 45 years old. Julie Benz is 41, from Dexter, of course. Director Wes
Anderson. Bell for Julie Benz?
Yeah.
For reals?
Okay.
Yes. What do you mean for reals?
Hell's bells. Wes Anderson, director, is 44. Tim McGraw is 46. And Ray Parker Jr. is 59.
Something strange in your neighborhood.
Wow.
A little strong.
Earbusters!
If there's something weird, and it don't look good, who you gonna call? Ghostbusters!
Yeah, come on. He ain't afraid of no ghost.
That's right.
As good as it gets right there. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
As you know, the Amalfi Restaurant in Los Angeles on North La Brea is where Adam Carolla is on Wednesday nights doing his live podcast. Free Mangria, by the way, with a purchase of a ticket. Special guest tonight is Jeff Ross. How about that? That's going to be a great show at 7 o'clock. Doors open at 5:30. You can go to adamcarolla.com for details. But check this out, Kevin. Sunday, the Ace Man is having people over to his home. You pay to go to Adam Carolla's actual house. Money goes to Children's Hospital LA. Adam, are you in a pool? What's going on right now?
I was shaving. I'm trying to get that stupid shave cream off my face. I got too crazy a schedule.
Was this a surprise, this call?
No, but Christy called, and she said, we'll call back in 5 minutes. Ah. And I was like, oh, now I have 5 minutes to shave. And she called back in 3.5 minutes.
Okay.
Your schedule is too tight.
No kidding. If you have to do radio interviews while you're shaving. All right, well, you finish up while I get the plug out, because this is amazing. You go to the actual Corolla house. Adam and his wife are going to be hosting. It's the celebration of the Mangria White. It's Cinco de Mayo this coming Sunday. Listen to the entertainment, Kevin. Fitz and the Tantrums are going to be playing. They're playing our Weenie Rose. They're playing Adam's house, okay?
That's pretty cool.
John Popper of Blues Traveler, Susanna Hoffs from the Bengals, and more, all performing for you this Sunday at the Corolla Mansion. How great does that sound?
That? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so money's going to the kids. I mean, after I wet my beak in a place.
Of course, yes.
It doesn't say here anything about you wetting your beak here.
Well, no, I'm not wetting my beak, but what I'm saying is, you know, there's things that go along with home ownership. There's the maintenance, the ground, water. You know, gambling, things like that.
This is proceeds go to Children's Hospital LA.
Hey, yeah, it's, most of it will get there. Don't worry. I'll swing by later that week, make sure it gets over there.
Well, if you ever wanted to see how the 1% live, this is how they do it, man. AdamCarolla.com is where you go to buy the tickets. You can go to his house and see those great bands on Cinco de Mayo. Get yourself some Mangria and have a great time. Adam is here, and he's shaving while he does This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Starting with three and working our way up to number one. First off, I can't figure out what is a luxury, hot or cold. I'm confused because there are times when they give you little, you know, socks for your Tootsies in first class and a blanket, but then the salad fork and the butter come freezing cold. And I just want to say something. Whoever said this butter isn't cold enough? What goes on? You know, you go to a really nice steak joint and you get the rolls and then you get the butter and it comes in a little cup filled with ice.
Yeah.
And then you take it out and you start to try to spread it with the cold knife, by the way.
Right.
With a chilled knife, because I love cold metal in my hand. Everyone loves the feeling of a freezing flagpole in North Dakota around December. So you grab the cold knife and then you grab that cold pat of butter and you start trying to spread it, but all it does is roll.
Yeah.
You get a space-saving spare of butter on top, and it's picking up little pieces of bread as it goes. And then at a certain point, you just have to do what you did with Silly Putty, with the old comic strips back in the day. You just mash it down. By the way, my kids are going to laugh their ass off when I explain to them, well, what we do is we take the Archie's comics, and then we'd take Silly Putty, and we'd mash it down on top of the comics. And then when you turn it over, there was Jughead on the putty. Like, yeah. Are you high, old man?
Almost no one listening has any idea what you're talking about right now.
I know. It's what you did with Silly Putty. But we already had the comic. Why do we need it on clay?
Right. I don't know why we did that either. It was weird.
It was weird to sing, and he'd be delighted. Look at this. Look what I just did. I have a horrible representation of this thing I already had backwards on clay. This
it
is
doesn't
awesome.
Make any sense.
I know. So you have to hold it down with both hands and then mash it down. I'm just saying, let's do butter warm. Not a luxury to cold. The colder the butter, the more punishment is.
The more work it is, absolutely. You have to wait for I it. Agree. To, yeah, all right.
Yeah, you got to warm it up. All
right.
Second thing involving food, I realize, it's a weird thing in hotels. You go to a nice hotel, you go to the Ritz-Carlton, there's somebody buffing the marble floor and the entryway. There's always someone pushing a vacuum up and down the hall. They'll take the ashtray if they have the sand and they'll put the stamp in it, you know, Ritz-Carlton stamp in it. And then on your way back to your room, you trip over a tray of half-eaten food that some guy ate, you know, 14 hours ago and put out onto the carpet because he was done with his room service.
Right.
And it doesn't matter whether you're at the Detroit Red Roof Inn or at the, you know, on the south of France at the Ritz-Carlton. It's always the same protocol. We drop off food. When you're done eating food, you put tray of half-eaten food out in the carpet in front of Adam's room. It's it's on the floor. It's weird, isn't it?
It is a little strange.
It does make it seem like they put a card in every other room in the hotel, letting all the other guests know which room is yours.
And some of that stuff is out there for days, maybe months. And there's always that thing where you come back to your room and you got a little buzz, and you look down and you survey it like, well, that fry's gone south, but that strawberry looks pretty decent. Now, the look of shame, I'm going to look around, pretend to drop my keys, get down on one knee, squirrel away as much of that crap as I can.
Hey, at least the butter is room temperature by the time you get there.
It is. But shouldn't you just do a thing like, you know, if you go down and park, you go down and do you do the voice of death on the Family Guy. When you pull into the valet, the guy says, how long are you going to be in there? You go, about 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Okay, he'll put the car a certain place. When they drop your food off, shouldn't they go, when do you need me back? Like, you're going to wolf all this down, or you're going to save it for later, you know?
Sure.
Come back and get it. Don't just do the thing where the guy shoves his food out into the hallway. You got goats running around and raccoons and fruit flies. It's a nice hotel. No one's to see half-eaten food on the floor.
But, like, Adam, what are you going to eat when you're drunk?
Well, that's a good point, but what other establishment would you say, when you're done with your meal, take all of it and put it on the carpet?
Nope, you're absolutely right.
And then just catch as catch can. If somebody wanders by at some point in the next day or so, they'll pick it up. This is like a weird policy when the guy's working the floor buffer in the front on the marble, right?
Right, I hear you.
All right, and last but not least, controversial, but true, and it's time, you know, people like me take a stand and speak up. I was doing a show with Alonzo Bowden, you know him, big glass of chocolate milk, funny comedian, and it dawned on me, I don't feel like I see black people sneeze enough.
What are you talking about?
Black people sneeze?
Well, I don't know.
I don't feel like I see them sneeze. I don't think they, have you ever heard one talk about pollen count? I'm just saying, I don't see commercials where they're sneezing. I don't see them sneezing at the mall. This is not pejorative. I'm not pointing any fingers. This is a good thing. But I'm just saying, black folks don't sneeze as much as white folks. What's up?
I'm honestly dumbfounded by the question. I can't imagine.
Have you ever heard a black guy complain about seasonal allergies?
Well, no.
All right. But you're making my point.
I haven't at all.
I'm just saying. I don't know if their immune system's better. I don't know if Whitey's getting soft.
Why don't they share whatever it is they know?
It's fine. I just don't. When you see commercials for all that, the nasal wax and all that crap and all those inhalers, they don't have black people on them.
Yeah.
I just don't think they're doing their fair share of sneezing.
Have you run it by the good doctor? What's he say about it?
I would imagine if you're looking for a physiological thing, it's just like soft Whitey has more peanut allergies. I just think there's just more. I just think
we're just
the
too soft.
Softer you get, the more sneezy you get.
Yeah,
that's what I think. I just don't. I just like you know, like when white guy's trying to get out of work, he gets on the phone, you know, and he calls his boss. He's like, "I'm sorry, boss. I got a head cold here." Black guy, they go, "BS. Get the hell out of here."
No one's gonna believe it.
Yeah.
All right, you can go to AdamCarolla.com for all the podcasts and all the live appearances, including tonight at the Amalfi Restaurant in Los Angeles with special guest Jeff Ross. That's going to be a great show. Doors open at 5:30. The show starts at 7. But don't miss Adam Carolla at his own home this Sunday, celebrating Cinco de Mayo and the launch of the Mangria White. Again, all the details for that, including live music from Fitz and the Tantrums, John Popper, and Susanna Hoffs, and more, available at AdamCarolla.com. Have a great week. Thanks for coming on, sir. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday morning show. What's going on, dude?
Oh, I took a walk.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was the new Farrah Abraham song. I took a...
No. Walk. It's walk.
Oh, I see. Sorry. Farrah Abraham's a whore.
True. This is the teen mom.
Teen mom, 16 and pregnant. Just a boneheaded, lying whore. She was on Dr. Phil telling us that she made this sex tape with porn star James Dean. Not for a porn movie, not to be released, not to make any money. For her own personal privacy.
For me to be happy for myself and my own privacy, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No. You know what's wrong is lying to us, you whore. Dr. Phil's like, so you're not going to sell this thing? He's like, well, no, but, well, maybe if, you know, $2 million, maybe.
Or higher.
She ended up getting not quite $1 million, but now she's angry at us. She's angry at us because we're calling her a porn star and a whore. And so she released this audio.
It's her. It's she filmed in the back of a car going, I guess, about 120 miles an hour with no windshield. It's kind of hard to make out with all the wind noise on the
microphone.
It is
in a wind tunnel, yeah.
But she posted this on Keek.com, and along with the tweet, let me read this. Past is not present. Love you too, haters. P.S. Thanks for the porn star compliment. I love my body too. So she's getting the last laugh.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds like it.
And apparently she's still claiming this. Somehow this sex tape that she made with a professional porn actor and then sold for almost $1 million is somehow private and personal for her.
What's up, family, friends, it's Deanne. So I wanted to say, yes, there's a lot of hate because of the public eye has gotten my personal business. So it should have remained personal. And I think a lot of my friends and family understand that and have experienced their own issues with people getting in their business when they should not. And misinterpreting who we are from one time of being positive or celebrating what we want. And it doesn't mean that that's us. So past is not present. We are better than all the hate. And in our future, when we're doing good and they're not, they'll realize. Bye.
Yeah, well, she told us.
That's, what did she tell us?
I'm not sure. I don't have my English to Farrah dictionary with me.
Ralph, how did her... So she's making it sound like this sex tape leaked rather than it was intentionally shot professionally so that she could shop it around and get paid.
This should have remained personal, Bean. This tape should have remained personal. The public eye got in her business, and this should have remained her personal business.
But she sold it.
Oh, right. Okay.
She shot it on purpose with the intent to publicize it.
Yes, but we're misinterpreting her as a person who would make a sex tape and then sell it for money just because of something she did for positiveness. Before.
Which is to make a sex tape and sell it for money.
But
right.
Past is not present, so there.
She reminds me of...
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. Or should help South Africa, right, and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
Children.
Maps.
That's what she sounds
That's
like.
That is. Because of the personal, of the private, and the public eye that got into the business, but are judging me on the before time with the before and when I did it, past is not present, and also not should have I do good.
Both of those could learn from me. You just go, I'm sorry, I'm dumb.
Nothing better
That's it.
Than dumb people trying to use elaborate language and speak articulately when they don't know what they're talking about. Very entertaining stuff.
She actually speaks well English.
She does speak well English. Since we're talking about whores, let's continue with the theme, shall
okay,
we?
Yeah, I like the theme.
Kesha. Musician, singer, songwriter Kesha was on the Conan O'Brien show the other night.
Is she still K-E dollar sign H-A?
Hell to the yeah.
You kidding?
Okay.
How do you give up something like that brilliant, that golden marketing technique? She was wearing a dress made out of Conan O'Brien faces, by the way.
Okay.
Nothing like sucking up to your host. And then they got into the important stuff, because she's an artist. I mean, you know, some people say she's a prepackaged image who's just selling her own brand of grimy sex.
And that's not the case?
No, she's an artist, and she's a beautiful, talented woman who works hard at her craft. Here she explains to Conan how she writes songs.
My boobs.
Your breasts.
Yeah, my
boobs is fine. Boobs. I should have stopped at boobs. You lower them and they go onto the keys.
Onto the keys, and I just let them tickle the ivories.
Wait a minute. I think this is how Gershwin did it. You lower them, and then you wiggle. I mean, what do you do? Curious how it works. Do you wiggle?
You get like some vibrato, and then you can move around. They come
what
up.
What do you
with
mean
like,
they're moving around? Yeah. They're ding 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 ding. Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, they really just go crazy, and then all of a sudden, I have these chord progressions.
They go crazy.
They go crazy.
They do.
They have a mind of their own.
They do.
Are they ever like, we got an idea? Get us to a piano. Quiet, you two.
Although you're laughing, it's very serious.
No, I'm done. I didn't mean to make light of this process, but good God.
Yes, so, I know. Multifunctional, really.
Yeah, has anyone ever walked in on you when you were banging away on the Andres?
We can stop that clip at any point.
What the hell? Is that the whole interview?
I didn't realize Omar was giving me the audio for the entire episode.
She
bends over and she dangles her boobs on the keys and says that's how she writes her songs, which,
right,
after hearing her music, explains so very, very much.
Sure.
That's true. Yeah.
Now, do you guys think that there's any truth to that
no,
at all?
Of
or is it just
not
a hilarious story
not
she made up
it's
to seem edgy?
It's just her being absurd.
Being sexy with her boobies out, banging them on a piano.
Look how wacky I am.
I think Brian Wilson in your previous interview, I think that's how he was playing the piano. I think he was banging his boobs on the piano.
They're
as
bigger
well
than Kesha's.
Yeah.
By the way, I forgot that Conan was doing a late night show. It sounds like he's still pretty funny.
He's got a talk show.
How about that?
People don't
who
know
knew
that, but he's actually got a talk show now. And should one more horror story?
Sure.
Pink, who of course is happily married to Carrie Hart, wasn't always a one man gal. She calls herself a reformed slut. That she used to just knock it out all the time. I have a serious issue with guys being called a player while women do the same thing, get a nasty, insulting nickname, she said. By the way, she also reviews in the same interview in Glamour magazine that she once went on a date with Joey Fatone of NSYNC.
Really?
Saying he was in love with me. Asked permission from my dad for a date and even bought me an ice cream at a nearby Friendly's.
Aww.
If only he knew he didn't have to waste the money on ice cream. He was going to bang her in the back of his car because she was a slut.
She seems like she would be a great time, though, Pink.
In bed?
Doesn't? Yes.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. And once I introduced her to my new unit I'm packing, as we discovered today, once I get the 13.5.
You have a new one? I didn't know that you were
I'm going to rock
upgrading
the 13.5.
Oh, all right.
I'm going to bring it.
I know she's not the first person to make that point, but it's still, you know, worth the discussion of there absolutely is a double standard in terms of women who play the field versus men. And it is unfair.
I've always resented that, and I've always let many of the women I've known that I would not judge them based on that behavior. In fact,
sure,
I would encourage it. And we all
agreed,
got along famously. It was good times. Let's finally get to the Ray Parker Jr. story, shall we?
Yes,
it's
please.
It's his birthday today as we look at celebrity birthdays. Ray Parker Jr. is 59 years old today, and I can't think of the name, of course, of the singer, songwriter of Ghostbusters theme and other hits.
Hits?
Question mark?
Yeah, he had quite a few big hits.
Without thinking of Bean's wife, who had an intimate interaction with Mr. Parker. Bean?
And Bean still likes him.
I know.
This is weird.
I'd put a fat wild on this guy if he did to my wife what he did to yours.
Right. I can separate the art from the man. The way Donna tells
that's
the story.
That's the beauty of Asperger's right there.
That's
that you
right
don't have any emotional connection to any event ever.
Well, look, there are people who still listen to Chris Brown records and they don't like what he's done in his personal life.
I bet Rihanna's dad doesn't. I'm saying, what's there sort of an intimate connection? Probably not.
You guys may remember this story better than I do because you know my memory, but the story that I remember my wife telling me is that she's 15 years old and she's working at Magic Mountain up in Santa Clarita.
Yeah.
And she's working the ice cream booth.
Yeah.
And this guy comes up one day, turns out to be Ray Parker Jr., who asks for a scoop of ice cream. And then she gives him the scoop and he says, I want another scoop. And she says, well, that'll be another 30 cents or whatever it was to get the extra scoop of ice cream. And he threw the biggest tantrum, hell no, he said, and took the ice cream and hurled it at her.
Threw it in her face.
Hit her in the face. Ice cream all over her hair, ice cream all up and down her little outfit that she was wearing or something like that. And she, like many, you know, many teenagers at the time, she loved Ray Parker Jr. She was so bummed out to have that happen.
But at least you still love him.
But I can separate that from the man and the music.
Something strange.
Well, she did this.
In the neighborhood. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
There's something weird, and it don't look good.
What are you gonna throw?
Ice Busters!
it was not a good interaction with a pop star at the time. But
really?
that does come to mind when you hear Ray's name for sure.
Ray's 59. Tim McGraw, country singer and actor, is 46. Director Wes Anderson celebrates his 44th birthday. Julie Benz of Dexter fame now on Defiance over there on Sci-Fi. She's 41 years old. Darcy Retzke of Smashing Pumpkins at one time is 45. Carrie Bechet from Argo and Red State is 29. Her Red State co-star Nicholas Braun also celebrates a birthday today. He's 25. And Emily Clark of Game of Thrones celebrates her 26th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph. Tomorrow morning we are going to talk to Jonah Falcon and his 13 and a half.
We have Chester Bennington, lead singer for Linkin Park.
It's a big shoe, that guy.
We have Simon Helberg from Big Bang Theory. We have comedian Al Madrigal on the program tomorrow. We have a brand new Beans Death Corner and the top 10 infomercials.
All
10 of which I guarantee Ralph has
bought. Oh, I love infomercials.
Ralph is such a sucker. So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.